doesn't say anything.
We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. Everybody would rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, all, and to our guests. Yes, as we go through the agenda, if you sign in, if you haven't already, we'll move on to the public comment section. Maybe at this time, Andy, if you want to tell us what you're up to.
I'm Andy Frank on behalf of the Hamburg Hunt and Fish Club. We do our calendar raffle every year. And I'm here to get a permit so we can do our calendar raffle at the hall again for February 3rd, 2014. And I want to make sure somebody in the city can do that.
I don't see anything wrong with it. We've done it before. Any comments, questions? Otherwise, I look for a motion that we approve it.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the gambling for, you said in February?
February 3rd, 2014.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
All right. Then I need to sign here so I can send in the application to the state.
Right. Copy of it or just... Let's see.
No waiting period check.
I just sign it on here.
Yeah.
Six, 11. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, keep on going here. Thanks, Andy. Go to the agenda review if there's any items to be added.
Mayor and City Council, a few items I have to add. I'd like to add to the consent agenda just a memo from the League of Minnesota Cities, which is a frequently asked questions about the new city sales tax exemption. Also to add to consent agenda, 2014 dues information for League of Minnesota Cities, the updated delinquency list, and then also I'd like to add to my agenda a flyer from Ridgeview Medical Center. They're looking at doing some screenings for health risk assessments. I'll provide more detail in my report. And then also Carver County curfew ordinance. Under my report, and then an updated June claims list. And then one item I would like to remove and move from my report would be the minutes for May 14th, 2013.
Anything from the council? Anything to add? Otherwise, I'd probably look for a motion with the add. Letter from the league and what
so moved.
And the deletion of the minutes of May 14th.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda with the changes as stated. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to fire department report. Chief Drage.
Good evening.
Good evening.
First, Greg Schultz has put in 21 years, I think, on the fire department, and he's chosen to retire. So I'd like to accept his retirement, and then usually at the next meeting you make up one of certificates or something, Jeremy, right?
Yep.
Recognition. So we should have a motion to... Accept the retirement. for firefighter Schultz.
Make a motion to accept the retirement of Greg Schultz, firefighter Greg Schultz.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to accept the retirement of firefighter Schultz. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you. Emergency services agreement with Washington Lake Township. Jeremy and I have gone over it. I think that can be signed and sent back. We made a couple of changes for the prices and wages and stuff like that. Or not wages, contract price and stuff. So, same thing we've had every 2 years, we re-sign or so. So, just need something to okay that.
I need a motion for look for a motion for the emergency service agreement for Washington Lake Township.
Make a motion to accept the service agreement for Washington Lake Township.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to accept the emergency service agreement for Washington Lake Township. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Next thing, temporary liquor license and insurance requirements. The Lions Club has a liquor license for the Summerfest. Bob, you can help out in this. But it didn't include any firefighters, their wives, or literally any of the Lions Club members' wives to be able to serve beer or wine coolers at
Summerfest. Yeah, it's part of our insurance. It really doesn't have anything to do with the actual liquor license itself. But it's insurance to serve the liquor. So as Chief Brad says, we need temporary insurance for them when it's going to be. I think he's got the details here. He's going to tell you with the amount and whatever. So
we're proposing, we talked about it the other night, is to have it for one day. So like 7 o'clock on Friday till 7 o'clock Saturday, which cuts the price of it in half. And I think that's what, $206, right?
It was something we got right around there.
Yeah, where is it here? I think that's what it was, wasn't it, Jeremy?
Well, the main thing is looking at is what the city wants to set the insurance requirements at. Minimum is $50,000, $100,000, $300,000, which is $50,000 for each person. $100,000 per occurrence, and $300,000 is usually like an annual aggregate. Usually, I think what the Lions carried was $1 million policy.
I'm pretty sure it's $1 million, $2 million. Yeah.
So, the question is, does the council want to require that same type of coverage? What the council states they want for insurance coverage is going to dictate their premium for that. But I think an event of that nature, I'm not personally myself as the clerk treasurer, not comfortable with the minimal limits. I mean, we all know it only takes one issue to rack up quite a huge insurance bill. So if there happened to be, you know, knock on wood, that there would be no issues, but if there was an issue, we would want to make sure that we have adequate coverage for the event.
If I read this right on the limits, there's a 300,000, 1 million, third one up on the bottom. Am I reading it right?
It'd be basically this one here.
Yeah. Now, at that rate, am I looking at 177.50? Mm-hmm. So that's less than the 206 for the other one.
Yeah, I don't know where that came in. Do you remember, Bob?
What's that, Brad?
There was a number of 206 or what?
I think that's what Diana said.
Yeah, but according to this, 3 million or 300,000, 1 million is only 177.50.
Again, maybe they were looking at the 1 million 300 is 205, or the 1 million 2 million is 208. So we're not, I guess it depends on what you're actually looking at for coverage. I think we could probably get by with a 1 million 300 if you want, but we could, or if you want to go with the 300,000, 1 million, again, that's whichever way you want to go. The $1 million, $2 million would probably be the best ideal-wise.
I think that's what it was then. It was $416.
Yeah.
Right.
It goes $416 for 2 days.
Yeah.
Well,
you're talking about $30 difference or $40 difference there?
No, it's the bottom one, $1 million, $2 million.
Yeah. Oh, that one. Oh, okay.
Well, if we were talking 206 before, it says 208. I mean, that's what was kind of the magic number of what everybody was looking at. I'd go with that, and just to be on the safe side, be covered the way it should be.
I guess that's what I would recommend as well, the $1 million, $2 million coverage, just to cover ourselves in case we do have a problem. And obviously, hopefully we don't want to have a problem, but in case there
just
is.
Just in case. Yeah, I agree. Any other discussion on it? Otherwise...
So this, now up here on this deal up here, that's for the baseball?
That's for the baseball club. That's a separate issue.
Okay. I didn't know if that was the same thing.
Nope.
And how does that, I mean, can we tell them that we want to have it for coverage from 7 p.m. to 7 p.m.?
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
It was either 2 days, you can pick whatever
24 hours
you want.
Okay.
That means after 7 o'clock we can't, but there was nobody signed up to work after 7 a.m.
Yeah, right now I think we got it set up that the fire guys would be serving between 7 o'clock Friday evening and 7 o'clock Saturday, so it wouldn't be a problem either way.
Our main part is working the Friday night dance and then working concessions, food, and beer during the tractor pull.
Yep.
And that should be over by 4, but we want to extend it just in case it goes longer or something.
And that was cleared by Donovan. That was okay.
Because it was 8 to 8, so if it's 8 to 8, it still doesn't make no difference.
He just came up about 4:30 today and stated that license should be made out for June 14th to the 15th.
Yeah, that would be Friday night.
And then he's okay, though, with that 24-hour. I guess I'll talk to him tomorrow morning how he wants that license written, if he needs that defined in the license.
Yeah. I don't know.
Just make sure we're kosher. Right. I'll check with him on that.
It was going to be 8 to 8. We made it 7 to 7.
Okay.
Any other discussion on the amount of coverage?
Because by rights, if we went another day, you're only serving until midnight or 1. You got 3/4 of a day you're not even using it then.
Exactly.
So that's why we decided the other night to just make it that 24.
Comments, questions? Those that look for a motion to approve, if we want to go with the $1 million, $2
million. I move to get the $1 million, $2 million policy for the fire department for Zomerfest for the 24 hours.
I second it.
Motion made and seconded. Go with the $1 million, $2 million coverage for Zomerfest. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Next one is, of course, this weekend, just the update is Zomerfest, so try and raise money for both organizations to get things back into the community where monies usually go, so looking for help down there if anybody's interested in working. Sure can use some help. Floor scrubber has new batteries.
To approve the 3-2 temporary license.
We got to do the license too.
Okay.
So we should have a motion to approve the 3-2 temporary.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the temporary 3-2 liquor license for the fire department. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Floor scrubber has new batteries. We haven't had time to been running on calls and people have been busy. I haven't had time to try that out yet, but we will here. National Night Out, just need to keep that on the radar. Get a committee together or something to see who we're going to contact, what we want to do, because it's only 2 months away.
Less. How much warning, like if you would be so kind as to, you know, like say to Bridgeview, which... And
we'll
sheriffs and some of them.
Yeah, I'll try and get a hold of Carver County.
I don't know if the posse will bring a
Sometimes I think, kids like to... We want to probably have our explorers group here.
Okay. And we, as a council, we can kind of divvy up the tasks.
Well, we had committee meetings last year and stuff, so we should get that. So what we want to do, I think that needs to start here in a week from now. Within a week, 2 weeks of getting a meeting, because you're almost less than 7 weeks away.
Yeah,
about true. Seven. Because I think it's the 8th of August. We're at the 11th, 6th of August, so we're at the 11th. So we're almost only 7 weeks away.
Put that for set up a meeting after a while on our agenda.
And who wants to be on the committee? Last year, we just picked a couple people and a couple from, I don't know who it all was, but.
I don't remember. Maybe there's some notes.
I know we got a food list and all that stuff.
Yeah, I have it.
So. I think you had a food list, didn't you?
Somebody made one up.
I think it's in our file.
Okay.
Okay.
And the only other thing I had 2 weeks ago now, the vandalism at the memorial down there, they spray painted the lights, broke the water spigot and stuff. They'll be coming home later at night, just look a little closer in the park. I get home after ambulance runs and drive. I usually drive around the whole town just to see what's going on, and I'm out of three nights, one or two for sure, I'm seeing some kids walk out of that park. So we've had vandalism to the buildings, we've had now to the memorial. It's only been to the lights. Somebody does the statues and I catch them. I'll probably be in jail. Because that is not right.
Along with that, Brad, I talked to Bob from Floyd Security, and he's sending us two signs like this to put up down there. Basically says, closed circuit television surveillance system by Floyd Security. So they should be here at the end of this week. We'll give them to Dennis and he can put them up.
Other than that, unless you have some questions for me.
Just Brad, one thing I want to verify. It's also I have under your report, you know, the seal coating for the park trail. And I'll go over it in my report too with minutes, but Bargain Incorporated that did that last year and that would be doing it this year. But in the minutes, it was written that William Millers and Sons would do it. The other thing, street patching. Brad talked about an estimate at last meeting, but council never made a motion to approve it. I talked with Mayor Maltz and Mr. Odoms, who's in charge of streets, and I felt that was more so a mainline budget item, so I had Brad go ahead and take care of the street patching through town. It roughly came in at $1,440, so he used about 12 tons of mix.
Yeah, that was just oversight that we didn't.
Yeah, and one of them was to fix that patch a little bit better down there by Steve's house. That thing was coming apart, and there was clay pumping through there, so we gouged that out and made that spot better. And then there was
a
bunch of other holes, like around by the mill where Sandy Nellen lives and stuff. Those things have to get fixed, or you're going to get complaints of, wheels getting unbalanced or flat tires and stuff. So, and it came in under what we thought. So.
All right. Anything for Chief Drahi? Now is the time.
Brad, at the last meeting, I asked about these handheld portable radio batteries, and you explained what it was. I see they're on here again. Was that not paid, or is that a duplication?
Probably just the May claims list, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we're approving on May would be anything that hasn't added on the side of it.
I mean, did we approve these the last time around?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know I asked about it, and Brad, explained to me what it was, but I see it was just on here again, so I just wondered.
Which one is that, Dick? What number?
Number 16-12.
Yeah, that's for our portable radios. That's not pager batteries. That's portable radios, like the ones that the city uses, and us for fire calls. These right here. It's not pager batteries.
Yeah, see, last time I was in here wrong.
And we made that correction. Yeah,
okay. It's not pager batteries.
Right.
It's these batteries. And I've tried the batteries plus cheapies, and what happens is the batteries don't fit tight in here, and then radios keep cutting out. And it's just amazing how little bit difference it is. And otherwise, I can move it like this, and the screen will go blank, and I'm not. I tried it once. I will not do it again as long as I'm chief, because if that radio isn't on all the time and somebody gets hurt or died or injured that they don't get out, I'm not taking the fall. So it went from about $50 battery to about almost $100.
And those were the like, generic batteries?
Yeah, from Batteries Plus. Yeah, so
they never work.
You know?
50 good ones.
Tried saving some money, get two for the price of one, and that's just what I got. They're all gone now, so I had to order some more.
Okay.
Anything else, Doug? I'm on the June claims for pertaining to the fire department. Now is the time to ask.
No.
I guess I was wrong when the last time I thought it was different batteries, too, but got to figure it out.
This car fire training class, and was there another one on there for $450?
Yeah, the June claims.
Oh, yeah. So I sent in for reimbursement for $950. And also, we put in for the second day of our work at the waste management fire, us in North Young America, because we had the initial response, but the next day was more or less their cleanup, cleaning the place up, putting fire out. We put a bill in for $1,400 and we got that paid. So that goes back into our fund. So. All right?
All right, thank you. I guess we got to move back one other item on the consent agenda. We discussed it, but we didn't approve it. So I guess I'd look for a motion to approve the consent agenda with the changes.
So moved.
Second. Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda with the changes as stated. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We will move on. Mr. Tom Mayfield, National Healthcare Capital.
Thank you very much, sir. Well, it's been a few years, but I had the pleasure of sitting with this group about 6 years ago to talk about a topic very similar to the one I'm here to talk with you about tonight, and it involves Ridgeview Medical Center, and so I thought it kind of fun that by this point in the agenda, they've already come up a couple of times. Might I ask, just to help me have a good sense as to how I should approach this, how many of you on the council were here 6 years ago when the city assisted as conduit issuer for a tax-exempt financing for Ridgeview? Any of you?
Yeah, I was.
You were, sir? Very good, very good. Well, for those of you who have not been through it before, and Stephen, you don't need to listen because you've done this before. You know, we're a small investment banking firm, and we work with many hospitals of Ridgeview's size and smaller. We've had the pleasure of working with them several times, and I mentioned 2007 because at the time they had a fairly large financing effort. They were refinancing some of their previous bonds that were issued back in the late 90s, and they were also making some pretty large improvements on the Ridgeview campus. I believe they were beginning to build out a new women's and children's health area, a cardiology area, some things I suspect some of you are aware of. And we had an overall plan of finance that was in excess of $30 million, and for reasons I'll get to in a moment, we came around and asked a number of municipalities to help. Now, the most important thing for those of you who have not been through this before to understand is that when we came in 07, and again when we come asking for some help this time, it is not a form of help that involves any liability for the city, because if it did, you probably wouldn't participate in this. So I want to give you that preview right now. And we'll come back to it in a moment. I've been through all of this with Jeremy. He was here back then. And at the time, we involved, of course, your law firm and your financial advisory firm. And in recent conversation with Jeremy, I was reminded that on the legal side. You work with Briggs & Morgan. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And they're deeply embedded in all of this finance work for Ridgeview because they're also counsel to the city of Waconia. And so they've, because Ridgeview leases their primary hospital facility from the city, there's a very close relationship between Ridgeview and the city. And being that Briggs is the bond law firm that Waconia uses, they have quarterback from a legal perspective everything that Ridgeview has ever done in the way of financing. And since they serve you as well, that creates a very, you know, comfortable connection. In addition, if I remember correctly, you work with Ehlers and Associates on financial advisory work. And Jeremy reminded me that the specific individual that tends to work with you there is Shelley Eldridge. I've crossed paths with Shelley. First time was up in McGregor for something for the hospital in Aitken. She's a consummate professional. She knows her craft. And back in 07, rather than listening to me and simply trusting what I said, Jeremy did the sensible thing, which was to check with Briggs, to check with Ehlers, and backcheck everything I told you. Fortunately, that went well back in 07. The folks who were before you on the council were comfortable after, I think, a couple of meetings moving ahead with this. And I should let you know, there are a number of things to bring up tonight, and I'll try to go as quickly as I can and yet tell you the things I'm sure you want to know. I'm not here to ask you for anything final tonight. In fact, under state and federal law, I can't. This is the beginning of a process, very similar to a process we went through in 07, where we came out and had an initial conversation, told you the sorts of things we'd eventually ask you for, and then proceeded to do those things on a schedule defined by your law firm and your financial advisory firm. But again, to just pull back to the basic issue, you might be wondering, well, why is this guy here talking to us about financing for a hospital with which we have no, you know, legal responsibility? The laws in this area create some interesting issues for people like Ridgeview. And when I say people, I really mean nonprofit corporations. Most of the hospitals in Minnesota are not owned by municipalities. Most of them are owned by community-based nonprofits that have boards of local residents. They aren't owned by shareholders. They aren't owned by for-profit companies. They're nonprofit for good reason. That allows people to donate money to them and take a tax deduction. It allows them to avoid taxes in many respects, and that allows them to deliver health services to the residents of their areas at a lower price than if they were organized on a for-profit basis. And, of course, in addition to that, so many hospitals that used to be owned by units of government have become untethered from them because as the larger hospitals have survived, some of the smaller ones have gone away. The ones that survive have had to cover broad service areas. So even though Ridgeview isn't in your community, I think they're the one that most people in this area tend to look to when they look for, you know, their most likely source of health care if they're not going all the way into, say, Minneapolis. But nonprofit hospitals, because they are not units of government, although they have the privilege of using a tax-exempt form of financing for their major capital projects, just as you would if you were doing some major public works project, unlike you, because they're not units of government, they need to ask the assistance of one or more units of government to access the tax-exempt financing market. And when this is done, the municipality or municipalities that help them are called conduit issuers because you're really a conduit for nonprofit organizations to reach through you into a portion of the capital markets that will lend to them at lower rates because of your involvement in between the lender and the borrower. Your involvement does not involve you guaranteeing any payments or taking any risk, but it's a convenience described under federal and state law. In other words, this is another unfunded mandate. Mandate's the wrong word because you are not required to do this. We're here asking, not telling you. But I use the term because you're familiar with the idea that sometimes you get stuck with things that really, when you think about it, shouldn't be your job. The key laws in this area are federal, not state, and the Internal Revenue Code makes it clear that organizations like Ridgeview should be able to do this sort of thing. But the Internal Revenue Service didn't want to be hiring a lot of new people and establishing offices all over the country to monitor this stuff. So they figured out what they needed, and they need two things. They need to know that any time a tax-exempt deal happens, because that is an indirect subsidy out of the federal treasury, since there's an investor earning interest on which he or she does not need to pay taxes, that's why the interest rates are lower, just as they would be on your bonds if you issued for a public works project for the city. They want to make sure that these things are done right. And the IRS understands that if they make any nonprofit organization looking for this form of finance, in effect come by and knock on the door of a local municipality, a city or a county, and to say, will you serve as our conduit issuer? They know very well that you're going to have the good sense to make sure that before you say yes, you'll make certain that there's a law firm involved that understands the law in that area that will assure that everything is done exactly as it should be. The second thing the IRS wants is to know that these deals have happened. They want information on each and every one so they can do random audits and so that they can take all the data, put it in their computers, and model what will happen if there's a change in tax policy. So at the end of the trail, there's a charming little form on all the paperwork called an 8038. And I can't remember in your case if Jeremy got to sign that or your mayor 6 years ago, but it provides the information to the IRS that they need. So what they do is they set the law up in such a way that we need to come to you and say, will you help us out by processing this deal? Why hamper? Because the financing that Ridgeview is looking for, just as back in 07, is large enough that in order to make it the best possible deal, we can't use Waconia. Now, you might wonder, why would that be? I'll give you this the quickest I can. And, you know, there are some complexities I won't bore you with unless you have questions. But generally speaking, there is a provision in the tax code that allows these deals to be done actually at a more favorable rate if they're bought by local banks. And we've already been out to talk to banks in the area tentatively based on the idea that we're likely to find cooperation from a number of conduit issuers. So we're talking with people like Klein Bank, Community Bank, Chaska, Security Bank, banks you know that have their offices in the area, draw a lot of their deposits from the area. They like Ridgeview, they like the credit and the lending opportunity, and they've tentatively agreed to make this collection of loans. But in order to deliver them the best possible rate, we need to do this plan of finance, even though it's larger in amount, in pieces that are less than $10 million each. Because Congress, back in 86, during tax reform, created a distinction between tax-exempt deals that are large and deals that are small. It wanted to leave some additional help for smaller communities to fund their own projects and to fund projects for local nonprofits at rates that would be lower than would be possible in larger communities on larger deals. So there's a tax advantage to the bank if we structure anything we do for Ridgeview as what is called bank qualified. And the standard is that you look at each issuer. We're going to be talking not only with you, but with Winstead and with Howard Lake. And we've had conversation with staff at each of the three. All of you have helped with this sort of thing for Ridgeview before. And if you're wondering, well, why not Cologne? They've done it. Why not Carver? They've done it. Why not Waconia? Those are communities that already have things they're doing this year that fill them up to that $10 million mark. Every community that's well-advised tries to stay at or under that $10 million mark so that all their bonds are bank-qualified. And many of these communities have financings that are ripe to be refinanced, just as Ridgeview does. And, of course, they meet their own needs first. So we contact the folks that have helped Ridgeview in the past, and we focus on the ones that don't have anything to do this year and therefore have this kind of capacity to offer. Based on my conversations with Jeremy, and you know, we've also provided information to your financial advisor and your legal firms, it sounds as if, at least based on what you know today, the coast is relatively clear for the rest of 2013. So I'll be next week in Howard Lake and in Winstead. We've had similar preliminary conversation with them. They've helped Ridgeview in the past. And so what we have is an overall pile of financing that's about $31, $32 million in size. Some of it's taxable, so we can kind of lay that aside. But then we have about $23 million left that is tax-exempt. A lot of it is for things that they've done before. They're refinancing the existing debt because rates are low, just as you might do on your own home, on a business loan, or on bonds the city might already have dealt with earlier in this relatively low spot in rates. They're also doing some things that they haven't financed as yet. You may remember or be aware that they built a fairly sizable addition to their clinic up in Delano. They can recover those funds through this financing. They're also just starting on something fairly sizable at 212 and 41 in Chaska. You may be aware they've got the freestanding emergency room with lots of other medical services at that intersection. They're putting up another building there because there's just a lot of demand, both by Ridgeview itself and by others, for space on that campus. So what we have, and I'd be happy to give you more detail if you want, but we just have sort of a number of things, refinancing, reimbursement, and new money that total about $23 million in tax-exempt financing. And our current model is to bring about $8.5 million of that to you. If you're willing to assist, about $8.5 million of it to Winsted, because each of those communities has no plans for its own bonding this year. Howard Lake has about $3 million they're doing for a senior housing project. Otherwise, they have no plans, so we're looking to bring the remaining $6 million or so to them. And if we've understood correctly and if everyone is amenable, as they have been in the past, those three communities can serve jointly as the conduit issuers for this plan of finance. We'll also be meeting with Delano and Chaska and Waconia, because we also need to have public hearings with the communities that have the assets financed or refinanced within their jurisdiction. So we'll be visiting with each of them. We've already been in contact with each of them. So I'll be out in the area a bit over the next several weeks. But as far as the process goes, in each case we have a preliminary visit like this, and I tell you more than you want to hear about this, and I apologize, but unlike some of the other things you've done tonight, this is something you don't do very often. And other than in Stephen's case, it's something none of you have been personally involved in, even though the city and its professionals have. So I figure I owe you a good nickel tour the first time out. But what we would hope to do, if you agree to take the next step, would be to ask you to consent to the idea of a public hearing that would occur at maybe your meeting a month from now or so. And at that meeting, if the documentation is ready, to ask you to take a vote on participation in the financing. So that would be a request we'd make in about a month, best case. Now, again, we already have lenders that are interested in making the loan. Ridgeview wants to borrow the money. But key to you will be that your financial advisory people and your legal people will be involved in either drafting or reviewing the documents. So before that next appearance would come, Jeremy would have every opportunity to consult with them and to say, well, I know we did it last time, and this fellow from the cities is telling us it's okay, but Shelley, what do you think? Is Mary Ipple your primary contact at Briggs?
Yes.
Mary will be involved, as will Trudy Hall, one of her colleagues at Briggs, and Jeremy will be able to consult with them and ask them anything he needs to know. And what they're going to watch your backs for, the first and most important consideration for you, you know, in a sense, I present this tactically in terms of why wouldn't you help? There's no risk. But they're going to watch your backs on that. Now, what I suspect you're going to hear from them eventually, because it's been true on every deal we've ever done and any deal done for 501c3, a nonprofit in Minnesota, is that the statute first makes it impossible for you to adopt liability by participating in this sort of deal. Even if we wrote up a contract that said you were doing it, you were foolish enough to sign it, the law would prevent you. But beyond that, the documents are going to make very, very clear that you accept no liability. Now, normally that's about a half page of representations that the lawyers write their way. Any of you ever been in front of the city council at Excelsior? Oh, you'd love it. Mayor, four members, three of the four are lawyers. And they took that half page, making it clear that you had no liability, and they blew it up to about 3.5 pages. Because they were looking for new ways to say, under no circumstances do we owe any money on this. And our attitude was, fire away. We told you you're taking on no liability. If you want to write it in 17 languages, fine with us. The third level of protection is that when we've talked with the banks and offered them information on the deal, we've made this crystal clear as well. And in the final document set, there will be a letter from the banks saying, we understand that we're not looking at the city of Hamburg for repayment of this loan. We're only looking at Ridgeview. We get that the city is not liable and not committed. So there will be plenty of evidence in a number of ways that Jeremy will verify with your professionals. And if he hears anything other than that concerning this deal, you folks should run screaming from it and never let me sit in front of you before. But I believe that's what you'll find from your professionals, or I wouldn't be out here asking you about it. A couple other things people often ask. They want to know, what does this do to our ability if we run into a project we'd like to finance later? Well, that $10 million allocation I mentioned to you is a calendar year test. So in January of 2014, assuming this deal goes forward and you're a part of it, you'll have another $10 million in capacity. And this has nothing to do with your credit. That's another issue. Whether anyone will sell bonds for a project of yours is between you and them, and it's based on your tax base and a number of other things. That $10 million number is strictly a matter of your opportunity each and every calendar year to issue any bonds you issue as bank-qualified rather than non-bank-qualified. And that odometer resets every January. So the only conceivable obstacle this would create for you is if you participated in this and the deal were to close in, let's say, August. And in September, something from the sky were to fall and crush this entire building, and you needed to build a new one, and you needed to build it now, and you needed to finance it before the end of the year. If you had done $8.5 million of this as a conduit issuer for Ridgeview's benefit, you could still do another $1.5 million in financing before the end of 2013 and issue it not only as tax-exempt but as bank-qualified. If you had a bigger need than that, you would need to wait to issue some of the bonds until January. And you would need, if you had an immediate need for the cash, to do a taxable bridge loan to get you that far. So you kind of have a belt, you have suspenders, you have, you know, this thing kind of duct taped to your waist. There are ways to deal with just about anything that could arise, because I'm guessing that if you became aware of a screaming financing need in September, your normal deal calendar would take you into November, December at a minimum anyway. If you've been through that before, you know these things don't happen in a week or a month. They take a little while. There's no real administrative burden, and Jeremy, I haven't asked you this before, but I'm assuming that you haven't had a lot of work to do on that 2007 deal.
Very minimal.
Yeah. There might be a filing now and then to comply with an arbitrage rebate calculation. Ridgeview gives you an indemnification that says you run at any costs, we pay for them, and that's true on the original deal. If Shelley Eldridge at Ellers or Mary Ipple or Trudy Hallett Briggs bills some time separately on this that's directed to you, you pass it along to Ridgeview, they pay for it. If anything comes up over time, they pay for it. And I think our arrangement with each of the three issuing municipalities is, rather than kind of getting our calipers out and measuring your legal bills, just basically throwing about $5,000 at each of you to say, here, go pay your attorneys, go pay your financial advisory firm, reimburse for, you know, whatever of Jeremy's time he spent on this, and if you have a little change left over, that's yours. It's not a large amount, but we just want you to understand we're asking you for a favor, and you shouldn't have to bear any expense to do it. We just appreciate the probability that you'll help us with this. I think I've hit most of the issues, but if I've forgotten something, you'll probably think of it, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. I would intend to come back if you take this first step informally when the public hearing and the, you know, more formal consideration happens, and I'd be happy to bring someone with Ridgeview. I would have, except the CFO, who's normally the guy who comes out, is with his wife visiting one of their kids who's just graduating from college over in France, and he'll be back tomorrow, but he wasn't here for the meeting. So he wasn't looking forward to French food, by the way. Yes, sir.
So this liability is, there is none on the city?
None.
And like whatever Ridgeview and the lending institutions, that's up to their how many years they pay, but we're...
You have no responsibility at all. You know, if I were writing this legislation for the IRS, I'd find a way for us not to have to bother you and you not to have to mess around with this. In many states, there is a state-level hospital facilities authority that does this sort of thing, so hospitals can go to this. You know, there's one, for instance, for higher ed, Minnesota Higher Education Finance Authority, I think it might be. So if you're a private college, you just go to this state-level conduit issuer, and they do this all the time. They do it for all the private colleges in Minnesota. But no one ever created one for hospitals in Minnesota. About half the states have one, half the states don't. Although the fun part for me is I get to go out to small communities all over Minnesota and meet nice people and hear stuff on the agenda before my clients matter. But because that wasn't done, we instead go to the local cities, the local counties, the local villages over in Wisconsin. Yeah. So it's an imposition, I apologize, but we know Ridgeview's been a good community resident, and that's why usually people look at this and say, well, you know, we wish we didn't have to waste a little time on this, but if we're really not liable and we're really not using the capacity for ourselves, and if you're going to cover our tab and it's not going to bite us in any way, well, why not?
A lot of information I never knew was
The closest touch point, do you ever remember hearing about something called an industrial development revenue bond? Back in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of this, and tax reform in the mid-80s eliminated a lot of it. There's less now, although it still exists. But back in those days, if you were a city that maybe had bought and created an industrial park, and you wanted to attract people to build in your industrial park or to expand in your community, you could go out and sell a bond issue at tax-exempt rates, lend the money to this for-profit company. It could be a tool-and-die shop. And it was a tax incentive to get them to build in your town because you were offering this low-interest loan. Only you weren't liable. And if that employer went belly up, it was between the people who bought the bonds and the people who borrowed the money. And the city was not on the hook. So many communities say, oh, yeah, we did an industrial development revenue bond for this local manufacturing firm or food processor back in 82. And we weren't liable on that either. It's really in the same, it's like one small pigeonhole over for these old industrial development revenue bonds in state law. So, you know, the lawyers who work with you, they don't have to look at the statute book to tell you it's very clear there's no liability. They do this stuff all the time, and they'll be able to give you the reassurance you need. Don't trust me. I work for Ridgeview. I'm paid to come out here and beg you to do this. Trust your attorneys. Trust your financial advisors.
So the next step for us would be is a public hearing then before the next regular meeting?
Yeah, we would ask Briggs & Morgan to prepare a notice for that they would send Jeremy with publication instructions. It needs to be in about a minimum of 2 weeks before that meeting, which is why we couldn't do this at your next meeting. There isn't enough time.
Good information, I guess. While we support him anyhow, we have an ambulance situated right here.
I saw the patch on the chief's sleeve.
Yeah, he's pretty dedicated to Ridgeview. So.
Well, and we think they've done a good job. And, you know, we know if there's going to be a problem with finding conduit issuers, it's only going to be because our client hasn't conducted its affairs well. But Ridgeview's done a great job, we think. They've got a great reputation in the hospital community general. And we've never run into any complaints on the parts of the public bodies we've gone out and met with before on their behalf. So.
Well, that's good information here.
Well, good.
I guess we'll set it up for...
Yeah, unless council has any objections, ask for a motion to set up a public hearing for July 9th at 7 o'clock.
Fabulous.
So be it.
There's a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to set up a public hearing on July 9th, 7 o'clock. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Well, thank you very much for your hospitality. And Trudy Hallett Briggs will get that notice out to Jeremy. She'll be working on draft documents. And, you know, we'll see if the banks and everyone's attorneys are and yours as well, are able to get through this in time for that evening.
How much are, what are you asking for? How much?
$8.5 million, approximately.
Okay. From Hamburg.
Yeah, and about the same amount from Winstead. Okay. We just took all the debt. We have various little pieces, and we tried to balance it out as closely as we could. There's a pile of about $8.57 million, and there's another pile of about $8.47. So they're about $100,000 apart. Mm-hmm. And frankly, we don't care which community does which.
Yeah.
After we hold that public hearing and hold our regular meeting on the 9th, I think in 07 we had to adopt a resolution, I think.
And that could be at that same meeting if Trudy drafts quickly.
Okay.
If for some reason she's not able to get it out quickly or some of the attorneys are, you know, not around in order to get their review done, we might have to come back for a third meeting. But if everyone hits their marks, we ought to have this thing fairly fully baked and in front of you to consider.
Because what I'm just looking at a timeline for you guys, because we only meet once a month now.
Mm-hmm.
So then it wouldn't be August till we'd get to that final resolution.
Which is why we'd really like to be ready in July if we can. But that's up to the lawyers.
Okay.
They've got to have this stuff out in time for you and Shelley to review.
Yep.
Because we don't want to be having this show up on Shelley's desk the day before and say, hey, drop everything you're doing and review this for your client.
Okay. When is Ridgeview looking to have this all completed?
Well, we've got kind of a schedule put together with meetings like this similarly in all six communities. And if the lawyers all hit their marks, the last of the public meetings would be around July 22nd. There's still some calendar after that because we have to close these things 2 weeks apart. So one of them would close in late July. One of them would close, you know, a week and a half into August. The third one would close in late August. We suspect, you know, it's sort of a matter of who's done first, but since you're our first visit, it could be this one. But that would mean, again, it wouldn't close until tail end of July.
Okay. Any other questions from the council? Otherwise, we're kind of committed to have the public hearing, and we'll proceed.
Well, thank you again very much. And if you have questions, Jeremy knows where to find me.
Thanks for that presentation.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll look forward to seeing you again next month.
Sorry, you had to sit for that. Sorry, it's quite interesting, actually.
Mr. Randy Lees?
It's Lees.
Lees.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah. It's good for the telemarketers.
Our fiber optic system here, huh?
I'm Randy Lees, and I'm with Carver County, and I'm the project manager for the Carver County Fiber Project that's been taking place in the county for about the last three and a half years. And I was asked by staff to come and basically make myself available to answer any questions. Right now, staff has in front of them some information regarding a service agreement that is the county is looking to have the city sign, which would establish services on the Carver County network for the city. The county has actually recently received some questions from some local citizens in Hamburg, and I want to actually go through and address some of those items here specific so the council can actually hear some of the items that might have been caused for some questions here. And I'm more than happy to answer any questions throughout this, and then afterwards we can answer anything else that the council may have. So one of the things that one of the items that was brought up was regarding termination points and equipment and facilities that are owned by townships. And right now, a little bit about the project so that there's a little bit of a base understanding about what the project is and how it's configured is that the project in and of itself is an 89-mile fiber optic ring that runs through the entire of Carver County. And I call it, and I say it runs, and it looks like a little bit of a flat tire, and it runs through every single city and community in Carver County. Off of that 90-mile ring, we have what we call, we've identified them as called laterals, or basically spokes off of that. It's about 33 or 34 miles of these spokes that lead off and reach out into different facilities. And in the project, we actually have, it's a two-part project. There is a public and a private component to the project. From the public side, which is what I'm here to talk about and what the agreement is talking about, is for the public side, and that reaches out and goes into roughly 86 public institutions or public locations throughout Carver County. So is the in the 90-mile ring, when we actually designed the project, we actually tried to design it so that we could accommodate the ring through as many of those locations as possible. And then outside of those, we actually took these little spokes, these 33 miles of laterals, and ran them out to the rest of the public locations that were in the project. So in the project itself, there are actually two townships that had a desire to participate, which is Lake Town and Watertown Township. And so both of those locations are connected into the project. Another one of the questions was, are there any charges that would be incurred by any of the entities that are participating in the project? If the city wishes to participate, there would be the items that are associated with the service agreement. If the city does not wish to participate, there would be no charges incurred by the city for any of the construction that was done. The county has the project itself is about a $7.5 million project. There's about $1.5 million of that that is that was funded by the county itself, and the infrastructure that was put in place is all taken care of by the county for what that is. The only thing that the city would have would be, again, if they were desired to connect into some services, and that would be for this agreement here, that would be the $75 a month that we're looking at for the city. And then if the city has a desire to upgrade or do anything different with their equipment, to basically tie into this in a different fashion, to be able to utilize the services in a different way than they currently do some of the things now. You definitely do not have to change anything operationally here or change any of the equipment that you have at the city. It's just a desire. A lot of the entities in the project are using this as a time to take a look at some of their aged equipment and go, you know, we're bringing this in. Maybe this is an opportunity for an upgrade or to swap out some of our older stuff. But it's definitely not a requirement or need for the project. One of the other questions was relating to the number of facilities and what the costs associated with those facilities are. What we have is we have two different types of locations in the project, and if you're somewhat or not familiar with what fiber will do, fiber is just a piece of glass that we're putting in the ground. We have two different types of sites or two different types of customers, I'll call them. And we have some of our larger entities in the project, some of the bigger cities, all the schools, the county itself, are actually utilizing what they call the dark fiber that we put in the ground. And what we've done is we've said, you know what, we've got this piece of connection here that allows you to be able to speak directly between your buildings. And so what we'll do is we'll allow you to use that for your own use, and you put your own equipment on both ends of it, and you can do with it however or whatever you need to do with it. So we've got that type of a customer. Those are usually the larger size entities in the project, people that are familiar in the communication side. I'm an IT guy that would be replacing out what we call a T1 line. So a T1 line is usually between $300 and $500, and it's a dedicated type of connectivity that you would have for that type of a facility. And we've got things in place that would help allow that to go away. We also have, for our smaller entities, we have what we're looking at for the city of Hamburg. We're also bringing fiber into this location, but we're servicing you in a different way so that you don't have the burden of taking care of the equipment, such as the bigger entities do. And so for that, we actually bring in a piece of equipment which is actually already located. We're actually ready to go for the city of Hamburg. If council approves moving forward, we actually are ready to just flip the switch on right now. And with a little bit of configuration with your IT person, you'd actually be connected into the network. So for that, we actually have each one of the different sites, you'd have a $75 charge for every one of the sites that actually would be connected into the fiber rig. So in this specific example, it was if we had a city or another entity that had three or four locations, every location would have a $75 charge.
So you're saying if we wanted to have an access point down at the community hall, that would be another $75?
It would be. One thing to think about is that you have actually, and a lot of the entities out have looked at how they would build out the fiber to that location. So it wouldn't just be the $75. There would have to be some type of construction that would take place to get you from this location, the fiber here, over to that location. So that is, and that would be a cost that would be incurred by the city if you so desired to. And then there would be the $75 charge. So,
and you'd mentioned that, you know, the city so far has not paid any money for this, the system to be installed.
The city has actually borne the cost of building the closet that we've done here.
That's what I was driving at. My name is Odoms, and I'm the one that wrote the county administrator the letter. And for the record, I wrote that letter. It was 3 pages long as a Harbor County resident, not as a representative of the city of Hamburg. So
absolutely,
that's very clear. For those of you that have not seen the letter that I wrote to the county administrator, I raised 23 points that I think are very valid points that in my computer experience and knowledge, and I certainly don't mean to go up against you because I respect your qualifications and your experience, but I've got some very serious questions about this whole thing, and those are outlined in my 23-point letter that I wrote to the county administrator. I guess as a citizen of a resident of Carver County, I was terribly dismayed that I didn't even get the courtesy of a response from him. And I think that speaks poorly of the county. Secondly, I've been following this project since its concept, since its inception and the laying of the fiber optic lines throughout the county. And I'm wondering, you know, we've already got the internet. That is working well. Are we putting in an internet within an internet for the purpose of the county? The county's share of this, as I understand, is going to be about $1.5 million. The city of Hamburg is going to be charged, as it stands right now, $75 a month for our internet access, which is a speed of only 20 megabits. We now are paying about $55 a month for about 12 to 15 megabits. And after talking with Jeremy and my experience with my 1.5 from CenturyLink, I'm totally happy with 1.5. Jeremy is totally happy with the speed that we're getting from MediaCom. So my question is, here's something that's not broken. Why are we trying to fix it? And I guess I would go on record and request support from my fellow council members that we wait until we get these 23 questions or get explanations to these 23 points that I brought up. And I'd be happy to share this letter that I sent to the county administrator. It was on my website, if anybody checks that, and get some answers, because I don't think, personally, I cannot support what the county's trying to do. The other thing that leaves kind of a bad taste in my mouth is the fact that all of a sudden, last month, we're inundated with a contract from the county that says, this is going to be operational the 1st of June. Sign this and away you go. I don't think that's the way to sell your product. I really don't. And so with that being said, I would look for support for the council to take and hold this in abeyance and put it on hold and get some letters to my very definite responses, or to my very definite questions and explanations I'm seeking from the county. As I understand it, church down the road here is not going to be part of this, cannot access this situation. Is that right?
Right now, for what it is, and that's the differentiation between what we've got with the project. There is a public and a private side to the project.
Right, and so I think, the kids that go to that school every day, those are the leaders of tomorrow. Those are the ones that are going to really benefit by it. We're getting along just fine here with what we've got from MediaCom. Jeremy's happy, and if Jeremy's happy, we're happy. And, I guess, sure, the school is not in our jurisdiction. Neither is St. Hubert's or the Holy Angels or the Angels school down there in Chaska and the other schools. So, I think that this thing has to go back to the drawing board. I think it was just, in my estimation, it was just really thought up in a hurry and let's do it, and not enough thought was put into it. And I'd hate to see that in 5 years or 2 years or a year they come back and say, well, we made some mistakes. We want to change this all around. I don't think it's ready to go. And I, as a council member for the city of Amberg, I'm not ready to support it.
And I can, I respect your comments on the project. Some of the items that you spoke to, actually, as far as how, and to answer some of the questions that you've got, the individual that's actually putting together the response for your letter is myself. And one of the items in there, and as far as the county goes, we've been very cost conscious to the dollars that the taxpayers are spending, and I am the only dedicated staff member to this project for the last 3.5 years. And so I've been along with the project, and I actually led the team that actually went after the grant request. So we've had very minimal other staff involved, and right now we definitely are looking to formally answer, as a citizen, your questions for what we are. The county itself has actually spent a considerable amount of effort and resources as far as thought process and how we would move forward with the project from its inception. And there was a clear definition from the county administrator and from the county board as far as having a clear separation of public and private. And that was actually one of the key components of the fiber optic grants that were provided with where the funding came from for the fiber optic project was from the original Obama administration when the TARP dollars came around, the $700 billion worth of TARP. There were $7 billion of that set aside for communications infrastructure projects, and that's actually what the county went after, is some grant funding for that. So the county has a 20% stake in this, and then the other 80% is grant funded. So we spent a considerable amount of time trying to go after some of the grant dollars to grow this project. Originally, before the project actually came to be, when the TARP money became available, and as I came to the county in 2007, I was actually in charge of the team that was actually looking at the connectivity for the county and trying to be able to offer the similar services to the same staff in different locations. And we were not able to find from our existing providers that type of serviceability. So I was not giving my staff in Cologne the same services that I was giving my staff in Chaska, which actually led to the discussion of the fiber optic project from its inception. And from that, the county was actually just looking at a fiber optic project for itself. It was only after the Recovery Act dollars became available did the county then look at going after some additional funding so that we could look at the county as a whole and see how we could actually grow this out for some of the economic benefit for all the communities in the county itself. And so that's actually where the project came from and as it's gone from. If you look at the $7 billion worth of Recovery Act projects that are this type of project, roughly 95% of them are public-private types of projects. And that's actually one of the things that was in the competitive scoring process that the county went after in these types of projects. It was actually something that came back, and it's actually how we were scored. And we were actually very conservative and in how we put our grant requests together. And of the $7 billion worth of grant requests that were given, we were actually awarded on the very last day in one of the last five projects that were actually awarded in the scoring process. So we were right at the bottom. So from looking at how we actually presented and how we put the project together, it was on a very conservative level. There's definitely a definition in our grant and our project between the public and the private. We talk about some of the parochial schools out here. We talk about some of the businesses and the residents and what they'll see from an advantage from this project. And it actually is. We have the county actually brought along from the private side an actual internet service provider called Jaguar Communications. So we brought that provider with us in the project. And from what we've seen in these types of projects, it usually takes between 2 and 3 years for other providers to be able to use this existing infrastructure for us to prove our wherewithal in this before they'll actually build their business model on the fiber that we have in the ground. And then what we've seen is between 2 and 3 years, they'll actually look at the fiber that we've got in the ground and utilize that to actually get out to service areas where they currently would be cost prohibited to get out to them, such as a Hamburg, such as wherever it may be, from the fiber in the 90-mile range. So that's actually where we are leading with the project.
Since it was our tax dollars in the first place that fueled this $100 billion Recovery Act, wouldn't it have been better, in my opinion, to set up a public Wi-Fi network like the actual city of Minneapolis does, where the city is free? I mean, obviously, they've allotted a lot of the money for it, and they don't use the whole bandwidth of it. But couldn't the county do that? Because, like I said, it was our tax dollars, but I'm not going to see anything from this fiber optic deal. It's not going to my house.
Sure. And that's something that, as far as the county, when we looked at the project and actually getting funding for it, you know, we looked at the different ways that this mechanism could work as far as how we would actually go after the funding request. And those types of requests, because it's a public and private, you know, there's the opportunities for what we'd have for the public side here for here. But as far as going out and competing directly with, such as the city of Minneapolis does for the residents, was not something that the county board was interested in proceeding with. So we actually went out here and very clearly defined a public and private side so that we could actually foster the private side in Carver County and grow that for the businesses and the residents.
The other thing, too, is that, you know, this initial contract, whatever city decides to sign it, it's for an initial five-year period. And if 2 years down the road we decide this isn't for us, we are still obligated by this contract to pay the full amount of the contract, even though we're not using the service. I think that's a terrible way to do business, especially if we're supposed to be partnering with the county, and the county is our big brother. That's not the way to run a railroad, as far as I'm concerned.
And the county has been acceptable to, I mean, the agreement that the council has in front of them right now, the county has been acceptable to amendments in that based on the different jurisdictions. So if there is something inside of the contract that doesn't meet council's approval, the county would actually take that back.
Aren't you opening up a can of worms then if Hamburg's got one kind of a contract with certain terms, Cologne's got another one, Carver's got a third one, so you've got all kinds of different contracts for basically the same service?
Overall, the contract would remain the same, but if there's some specifics to the contract, such as a term length, then the county is amenable to actually changing something.
And I'm sure that probably the council, and I wasn't sure until tonight when you said it, but I don't know that the council knows that if we want to have Wi-Fi for the DJs down at the community hall, that's another $75 a month in addition to what we have to pay to have Jeremy have it. Plus, we have to pay to have the stuff put in here, to rent it down there, and also have the stuff down there.
Sure.
Okay. Do the other municipalities understand that as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. From a project perspective, as far as all the entities that were actually, including Hamburg, which was actually supportive of the project when we actually went out for the grant request, because we actually received letters of support from every entity in the project before we went after it. And in doing that, we actually took a look at what we were doing for the project, and of the entities that are left, we've got three entities that are left. It's actually Hamburg, and the city of Watertown right now is actually at their council meeting, is actually making a decision on the project, and we've got the city of Mayer, which is actually looking at connecting to the project later on because they've signed a long-term agreement with their existing provider. But everybody else in the project has actually signed on.
Yeah, and I think, you know, coming up and saying, here's what we're proposing to do, will you give us a letter of support? I think that's one thing. But now, you know, we're to the point where we're going to either, you know, either fish or cut bait. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that this is in Hamburg's best interest. There's too many unanswered questions. And the fact that nobody has responded to my inquiries, again, as a citizen, not as a council member, I think that bodes bad for the county. And before I can even come close to supporting anything like this, I need the answers to those questions. And I need explanations.
Well, if I can just chime in, a lot of these things were made clear when the project went on. So I just want to verify that. I want to switch gears a little bit because I think it's getting a little bit too negative when this is a good thing. I mean, I feel this is a good thing. I feel it's great that, you know, I want to thank the county for including us. I, you know, right now, like Bob said, you know, some residents may not see the benefit right now. You know, the city may not be seeing the benefit because I think of the price point. But as Randy said, 2-3 years from now, it's probably going to bring good competition in on the private side. So there is some good to this. I think a lot of the negativity is being looked at here. But I think really to get down to with the agreement, as far as the county standpoint is, really I think at the last meeting, and council can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think two of the main points were the term, which was basically the number of years, which you said is negotiable. The other thing was the price point, I believe.
Yep.
And I think where that comes in is the price point, which I more so was hoping that that's where this meeting was going to go, more based on the agreement than other things. But I think where it comes into there, we're paying $55 a month right now for internet. It does meet our needs. We're here, I guess what I wanted to more so touch base on is how the county came to, you know, the $75 price point for 20 megs, you know, versus what the private sector is providing out there now. I don't know what CenturyLink's going to provide here, but, you know, they put in a couple weeks ago, installed new fiber lines. I don't know what speeds that's going to entail or what pricing on that, but I guess more so what I wanted to hear is how the county came to the $75 price point at 20 megs. I mean, if from a city standpoint, I understand what the council's saying. You know, if we're paying $55 right now and it's meeting our needs and the county wants $75, well, it almost seems like we need to be getting something else for that extra $20 a month, or is there extra services that can justify why we should switch and pay an extra $20 a month. I mean, I think these were the points I would like to focus more on. I don't know what council's thoughts or opinions are.
Yeah, that's what the last meeting was. The term, I hate to go 5 years on.
Absolutely. Sure. And one of the things that we had is that, I mean, we had a desire to make the contracts as generic as possible for all the entities. We actually had some desire from some of the entities to actually make them longer. So we established in the 5-year term. That's why we've been able to come out and go, you know, if you have a desire for a shorter term because of what you're dealing with, then the county is amendable to that. We don't have any desire. This is a partnership between the county and the city. I mean, we came out this and actually we talked the term come out as the big brother. I mean, the county, for if you look at what the county's investing in this project, from what we had before this became the 90-mile ring and the 33 miles of laterals, the county's spending $1.5 million for this project now, and we're getting no more value out of this than we were doing before we added all the entities to the project. So we're actually bringing this on for, the benefit of Carver County as a whole.
And to touch point on the service laterals, you know, additional service laterals, that was made clear to us.
Yeah.
That if we wanted additional service laterals.
Absolutely.
You know, that cost was figured out for us. We looked at that, as probably before Mr. Owens was on. The cost, it was way too expensive.
Yep.
So it was almost $7,000, I think, to run a lateral over to the hall there.
Sure.
So at that point, we declined to do that. So we knew going in that, you know, we probably weren't going to do any more additional laterals.
Sure.
And that we'd look at alternative services.
And if I can talk a little bit to some of the services.
Just one last quick point.
Yep, sure.
And then I'm kind of done with my points. But I don't think anybody was against this project. Everybody was looking for it. But I think what's caught everybody by surprise, and I'll be honest, is the price point.
Okay.
That we actually would be paying more. I don't think anybody thought that the service was going to be free.
No.
But they thought we wouldn't be paying more than what we are now. And I really think that is the main point here, you know, is the cost here.
Okay. And I'll speak to that. And looking at the overall cost of the project, I mean, the county has actually looked at the, I'll call the smaller entities in the project and has leveraged some of the dollars that we've got in the project to actually make that price point work. So from your perspective of what makes it sense type of thing, you know, the biggest thing I want to do is make sure that we're comparing an apple and an apple. A lot of people will see something like what the county is bringing in and say it's an internet provider, you know, Mediacom or Frontier or one of the other providers that out here doing that. The big thing we've got, if you look at just your sheer internet, is that we've got an up and down speed, which is a big thing. Where that has a value to you, so if somebody comes in and says, I'm going to provide you 20 megs of internet, well, that's 20 megs down. That's how fast you can download from the internet. You see very few providers that are providing you 20 up, which is how you would actually be communicating back with some of the, and here's some of the extra value that you get from the project as a whole. And so what we have when we built this network or built this fiber optic ring is that we actually put all of the entities in the project into a what we call a fiber optic loop that allows you guys to directly communicate with all the other entities in the project. So if you have a desire to actually do any of the collaborative efforts, which is one of the kind of the big pushes from the county board, is to actually promote collaborative efforts and utilize some of the county services or to help some of the cities actually come together and utilize some of the services that they do together to basically have some cost savings or to have some better efficiencies in what you do. So we've got a loop that runs the entire ring that would allow you to directly communicate with other cities. That also includes the connection into the county. And with that, the county is actually looking to take some of the services that we have. Some of them are cost-based. And what I mean by that is that the county is looking, if there is some of the large systems that we have, and we're looking to do in just a cost recovery, if something costs us $50 to add for whatever that service may be, that would be what we would carry on over to the cities. But basically we're looking at some of the systems that we've had and said, you know what, if there's a way that the cities can utilize these or just add on some more to this and they can utilize those services, great, let's utilize our infrastructure. So this would actually provide you into some of those types of services that are available. Some of them are free. Some of them would have a cost based on whatever it costs the county to actually add you to that system. That includes everything from, and forgive me if I get into some of the technical side too deep here. We talk about some of our disaster recovery and business continuity items, which talks about virtual computers, talks about backup systems, such as doing offsite backups. The county has a backup data center in Cologne, where you can offsource some of your backups. Again, we talked about some of the virtualization or the virtual computers. We talked about cloud computers, things like that. It'd basically be if something happened to the city hall, how could you operate? Well, you could actually go and log into any PC from your home, from any library, any place there's a PC, and you'd actually bring up your desktop. So it's things like that. And then we also talk about some of the things that are some of the free services that the county has. We have a very robust GIS department. We've got a number of the cities that are actually part of a collaboration already, and we're looking to grow that collaboration and offer out some of the things that our GIS department offers right now, such as some of the imagery that we provide that the city can utilize for some better planning and some of the things that actually some of the other cities are doing, which is coming out and doing inventorying of manholes, signs, different things like that, where you'd actually have some direct access right into the county's systems, which you couldn't do right now with your existing your existing provider because you're not directly tied into our network. So no matter who you go end up with, if you don't tie into the county's network that way, you wouldn't be allowed into the county systems to be able to access that data. And that's actually some of the stuff that the county is looking to grow and provide out here. Another thing that we've got is that we look at some of the cost points. The county's coming out here and looking at what we have, and our desire is to actually drive the pricing down. I mean, we've got a set price. We've got to look at what we've got from a fixed cost and a capital expenditures right now, and we've got to start the thing. So we're looking at actually at the end of July as our go-live date. We'll actually be done before that time frame. All the schools right now, Ridgeview Medical, CDA, roughly half of the cities are already actually up and operating on the network right now. And so we've got roughly a handful of smaller cities and one of the small schools that is still looking at some of the configuration that they need to do to get up and running. But we'll actually meet our July timeline in advance of that to be up and operational.
As to the pricing, now Scott County has got those kind of the same.
Somewhat similar.
Somewhat. Are you anywhere familiar on there?
They actually don't provide anything out to the cities. They've got some agreements with Prior Lake and one of the other cities. But as far as specific like this that we've got to every one of the cities, they don't have agreements that way. Their network is tied out into their schools, which we have as well. But they did a different model for what they did. Their provider that they brought along is called Access Communications, and they've left the city action over to that. Now, there is some stuff that actually the county does pass through the cities for some of the 911 systems and things like that, but they've got very, again, there is a tie-in to each of the cities, but it's not in the way that you guys would have access and how you're running here. So it's a different way that we've set it up. If you look at our network for how we've tried to design it for Carver County as a whole, if you look at all the other seven metro counties in the Twin Cities, we by far have the most robust and available and usable network in the seven county metro area by far. I mean, we have a very, very optimal network for everybody to use and collaborate on and get through their stuff.
I'll submit that the concept is good. There's no question about that. And I think you've got a good foundation, but I don't think you've got the blueprints for the rest of the house. Because we're going to maybe do this. You know, we don't have a timeline. We don't know how much it's going to cost. I guess.
Actually, we do have a timeline. I mean, our timeline is actually the end of July. The private side is actually left up to the private side markets,
well,
whatever
I mean,
they would
that,
come to.
But that's part of it, too, because we're using taxpayer dollars to pay for this. So the taxpayer is going to say, well, when can I get ESPN on demand through this cable?
And that would be actually where they would we'd ask the residents and the businesses to reach out to our existing provider, Jaguar, and then to actually promote any services coming from any of the other providers that are in there, which is specific to why this was set up as a public-private partnership. And the nature of that public-private partnership is that the private side would go out there and grow that model.
And I understand this is something new for Carver County, and I appreciate that fact. And so if the county, from my perception, if they would come in and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to set this basic fiber optic ring up throughout the county. It's going to have a lot of capabilities. We don't know exactly what they are. We aren't going to promise you anything, but we will guarantee you that you get internet service like you're getting now at the same speed for the same price, and we'll go from there. That, I guess, I would go for. If you sat there tonight and said, well, we'll come back with a contract at the next council meeting that your internet speed will be 15 megabits or 20 megabits or whatever it is, and we'll match CenturyLink's price, all right, then I think, you know, we got a starting point. But as it is right now, I can't support it at all.
And I could say right now, from a consistency of all the provider or all the entities in the project right now, the county wouldn't be amenable to changing the price, or would be amenable to changing the speed. I mean, and it's inevitably it's up to council to decide whether this is right. I'm not here as a salesperson for the county. I mean, I'm here as an IT person for the county, actually help promoting this project.
The other thing I'm concerned about is it says here in your contract on the last or second to last page, it says that all of the information that is exchanged, sent, received, use any number that you want or any word that you want, is now owned by the county.
And actually, in the questions that you proposed or posed to the county, I'm actually not familiar. I'm actually the writer of that contract right now, and I'm not sure what the version you may have or where that came from. But in looking at the contract that's in front of the city right now, I'm not sure where you're seeing that specific language.
Is this a different contract, Jeremy, that we got? Have we gotten a different contract?
So, but there is nothing in the existing service agreement that has anything to do with the county owning the data?
I disagree with you on that, sir.
and nor does the county have a desire to own the data. I mean, the only thing that we have is we have a federal requirement in the project to not.
Ownership of all data prepared for or by the customer, whether having commercial value or not, shall remain with the county. That tells me the county owns everything.
And I would, I'd ask to take a look at that, because right now in the agreement that I have, we don't have
that. Section are you under, Mr. Owens?
I'm on the bottom of page 3, or top of page 4.
Section 17?
Yeah, D.
Okay. And that is a, that specific item is the Data Privacy Act that is part of Minnesota statute. So that's taken out of Minnesota statute, directly from the county attorney's office. And the ownership that it's speaking out is talking about the data prepared, which is the documents and such like that that we're doing right now, not the data that is residing on the network. That's just the documentation and such like that that we're what we're dealing with here tonight as an example.
Well, the paragraph or the section C above that says the county's got absolute total control over all the data there, whether it can be released and how it can be released and whatnot. And I just don't feel comfortable about that.
And all I can answer to that is that it's a Minnesota statute that is taken from the county attorney's office that is part of this. These have all been reviewed by county attorney for appropriate state and federal statute.
All right, well, we've had a lot of questions and a lot of your answers. Some of it helped, but we're still on a price point, which maybe down the road we can justify.
And that's one of the things that we hope to actually take a look at. I mean, you know, the council has to look at the dollars that you're expending. We're looking at a $20 difference for this. We're definitely looking at some of the services that the county is looking to offer. One of the things that, you know, again, we talk about some of the GIS items and such like that, and those are a free, no-cost item to the city to be able to utilize and receive benefit from. It's one of the things that we've done with the schools. Actually, about a year and a half ago, we got together with the schools as a whole, and we found that there was not a mechanism for them to come together as a group. And so we actually, the county actually fostered a gathering of the schools, and in such a time the schools have actually come together and formed through a JPA, formed a consortium, and actually through that consortium now they are actually buying internet services and looking at other opportunities to be able to utilize. I helped put that group together. We're actually looking to do that same thing with the cities, to bring the cities together as a group to see if there's any type of efficiencies that can come together based on the entities that are participating in the project. And again, connecting into that would be that $20. So the additional $20 to get tied into the county network, that would give you that opportunity for some of those collaborative type of efforts. And one thing I could say for councils, if you wanted to go with the shorter term and it didn't work out, it is something where the city can actually pull back out after their length of time if it doesn't seem to make sense for the city to be able to do something like this. But the county has definitely got a vested interest in trying to offer out some opportunities for this project. I mean, that's our goal. I mean, it's one of the things if you...
Some of the benefits, that's what...
Yeah.
I guess if you're talking about that, I mean, it wouldn't be a big deal. You could change the languages a little bit to say, sign us up for 5 years, but if we do have a problem or we do have something else, we could actually back out of that. Is that what you're trying to say? You would write into it?
I would actually say we'd just go for a shorter term than if you're looking at that.
But
I
even mean, still, like Dick says, if we're... if we're locked in for 2 years and we have problems or we don't like it or we don't really need it or don't use it, then we're still locked in for 2 years.
You are. I'd write a one-year term then. I mean, right now the county's gotten some of the entities that they have a desire for a one-year term. I'd say write a one-year term. We're acceptable of that. Again, the county doesn't have a desire to try to tie in anything. We've got a logistical aspect of going shorter than the one-year term. So it'd be just, if you want to go the one-year term and see how it runs for you, great, let's do that. The county's totally agreeable to that. Again, we don't have a desire. We're in the big brother aspect of this. We're looking to try to make this available and usable and have value outside of just what you see right now on a piece of paper that says it's the 75 for 20 meg down.
We didn't know that that option was out there.
Oh, as far as the term?
Yeah.
Sure.
I didn't. Did you?
No, not until after the meeting.
Yep.
You know, so that's
sure
a little more comforting.
Absolutely. And that's the thing with us. To be consistent as far as the pricing goes, the county is actually being consistent with all the entities in the project. So right now, when it comes to cost, we're at $75, and the county would to open up that for different pricing about what your levels are to somebody else's levels. The county has established a $75. Again, we already looked at from a cost basis to leverage some of our higher value entities to make it work for the $75. We have a desire for the project overall as time goes on to actually drive the pricing down.
Like on a GIS system you're talking?
Yeah.
Now, is there what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to think of the word. Is everything you have like on file like houses? Or is that where a city would have to do that on their own? Because like, say, through the fire department.
Yep.
What is it? Pictionary? Not Pictionary. That's a game.
Pictometry.
That's it. Now, I mean, you can access.
We're doing some of that stuff with the sheriff squads right now. It'd actually be something like that we'll be looking at. I think the majority of the fire commanders use, is it Fire Hall or the call, the software when you receive a fire call?
Yeah, there's something, I mean, you can go on as to.
Absolutely.
And we'll show
yep.
houses from, you can
flip it around.
Different
and
angles, you
yep,
know.
Yep.
Where the hydrants are.
Everything. Absolutely. I mean, right now we're looking at ways to make this work. And the fiber optic isn't running into the squad car, but it gets out to some of the buildings that allow some of that pictometry to get out there so that say a deputy goes out to a location and it's dark, they can actually bring up pictometry in the car, which basically is like the Google images, if you've seen some of them before. It shows you what the thing looks like and from different angles, and it's kind of 3D looking. Basically, you can actually go out there in the night and go, okay, this is what this house looks like. And the county actually flies new pictometry information every 2 years. So you're actually up to date every 2 years and seeing what's out there.
What I'm getting at is, you know, like, say a disaster happened like in this Moore, Oklahoma.
Yep.
You don't know what houses were where.
Absolutely.
You know, after the fact.
Absolutely.
You know, if you had something like this that the city could access for, if it's insurance or
absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, the county's actually pulled up some of that information, and since we've got the dike system in Chaska, but we've seen some of the information from that. But we actually had, it was several years back when a tornado came through Carver County, there were some of the cities actually used that data to show where it came through from an insurance perspective. You know, how it came through the towns and what it damaged, so they actually.
I mean, you know, that's things that the city can.
Absolutely.
Well,
tie right
you
into.
Know, it's a benefit then.
Yep. Another prime example would be the last project we did. All the clean outs and everything was done.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know, by GIS.
Well, that's one of the things that as the county goes, and it's we're actually very lucky to have the GIS department that we do. We've actually got a nationally renowned GIS department in Little Carver County of the seven county metros. Everything, almost everything, has a geographic point. So what we're finding is, I don't care if it's a sign or a handhold or a manhole or a road or a ditch or a culvert or a what have you, and it doesn't always have to be just public works types of items, but all that type of stuff is all geographically located. It actually just helps you, number one, keep an inventory on it. Number two, how can you actually better make those systems, a lift system, what the sewer has in it. And you can overlay that on the data that the county already has. And one thing that the city wouldn't need to, you know, tying into this network would allow you to tie directly into that and be able to bring that information up.
And how soon will that information be available to the city? Weeks, years?
Within a matter of talking to our GIS department and configuring what we need to do here so that the county or the city can get it. Yeah, I mean it's readily available now. We have other cities that are actively in it already. So.
No, I like that because I've seen it at church meetings and stuff.
Sure.
Not to actually beat a dead horse, but this ownership thing that Council Meldrum was talking about.
Sure.
I mean, I guess I don't really get what their wording is here from the state, but it mentions HIPAA here, which basically is that's protected information. If the hospitals are on board, they can't own that information because that's doctor-patient privilege. That privileged information, they can't own any of that. So there's something there, Dick. It's not they're not saying that they're owning all the data that's going back and forth. They can't. That's a federal law. I mean, I guess I don't understand where it would come up that they would own any data that would go back and forth.
I mean, if it's a statute that the attorneys, I mean, yep. So be it. I mean, that's there's nothing, nobody's going to change on that.
Yep. So
it's just how you interpret it.
Exactly. And again, the county doesn't have, we don't have a desire to own your data any more than you have a desire for us to own it.
No.
So.
So, from what I hear, there are going to be benefits along with this.
Absolutely. One of the things that we're out here trying to promote is the fact that this just isn't internet.
Then that $75 is easily justified, in my opinion. But,
true.
I mean, that's some of the stuff we don't know.
Sure.
It may be more expensive than what Comcast is now, but according to Mr. Lease here, it sounds like it's actually going to be worth it, especially in the future.
I wasn't really
trying to be negative earlier. I'm just saying that you spent our tax dollars, and I'm not going to see any benefit from it,
sure.
Except for here at the council and in the city. But, you know, that's another story. The government's always wasting their money.
Down the road.
It's a down the road. And, again, that's what we've typically seen is it's a two to. And right now we have, in some of the communities, we've got providers that are beginning to reach out. And we actually did an outreach to all the incumbent providers that are local, that have any kind of services in Carver County, and we've been actively communicating with them throughout the project. And again, they're basically get done first before we start to look at how we would use you. And that's exactly what this is meant to be. There's fiber in the ground specifically defined for, okay, somebody else come in here, use that, get to where you wouldn't get before because it's very costly. I mean, typical construction for fiber optics is right now is about $60,000 a mile. So if I'm 10 miles away, I've got to sign up a lot of residents to make up $500,000. Well, right now that's in the ground and it allows somebody to come out here. So there's actually activity taking place right now. And Jaguar, the existing provider with the project, is actually out pounding the pavement right now. They've got three people out that have been marketing for about the last 4 months.
So it's making progress. So it'll come then.
Yep, it's coming. And they've actually been out to some of the parochials. I know I believe they've run fiber out to the school out here, and there's several of the other parochials that they're working on as well. And then they're in the same boat as we are. We're not alive. They're not alive yet either because they're in the same. I mean, they're in the same fiber we are. So fiber cable. So once we get alive, they'll be alive, and then they can start to grow out more too.
Okay. Well,
the grant now.
Yeah.
That was just for public, correct?
Correct.
But there was things tied to that grant that it had to be basically some type of public entity or serve the public, correct? I mean, you couldn't really go out and tie in private things, could you?
I'm going to get into the scoring system of the feds. There, if you look at the $7 billion worth of projects, there are some private companies that actually got federal, and there's no public to them whatsoever. They're just a private entity for profit going out there. But they actually, the mandate of the project was to go out and look for under and unserved locations. So it wasn't about public, private, for profit, not for profit. It was, you know what, if there's nobody out there that's public that's going to serve that underserved or unserved location, and a private entity is willing to come in here and take some federal dollars to do that, then give them the money, set them up, and get the internet out to people that are needing it.
How many people have seen a copy of the letter that I sent to the county administrator? Time Pacific Council. So I think you guys got to read that. There's some very basic bones questions. And I think we as a governing body, if we go ahead with this thing without getting sent explanations to the questions that I've raised, some answers to the questions that I've raised, I think that's not in the public interest. I would be happy to provide each of you with a copy of my letter, and I would request that before we take any further action, and if this has to be a motion, that so be it, that the city council members get a copy of that letter that I sent to the county administrator that he hasn't responded to, and that we get the letter, the information that I'm seeking in writing back and go over it, coupled with what this gentleman here has said that the county is willing to do as far as making some minor modifications to that contract. I mean, we don't have to act on this tonight as far as getting this thing signed and getting it going. And I think it's in the best interest of everyone concerned in Hamburg that we just take a deep breath, get some get familiar with the concerns that I have, and then also get the answers from the county so we know what we're talking about.
Councilman Holdens, I think right now, which is fine, but we're mixing personal and city here on that a little bit, right?
No, Mayor, because, and I purposely try to keep these things separate. But I, you know, if I was sitting there as a member of the community, I'd say, wait a minute, there's too many unanswered questions here. And so I would hope that somebody sitting at these white tables would say, this gentleman here has some concerns, and maybe we should look at it before we take any action.
Well, that's where we have been drilling them a little bit. So.
And so I just, and I mean, the fact that the members of the council don't have any knowledge of what me as a city council member, but more importantly, as a resident of the town, don't have any idea what I'm talking about, you know, how can anybody make an informed decision? I mean, at least get the facts. And if you don't agree with me as a city council person, if you don't agree with me as a resident, that's fine. I can live with that. Yeah. But you have to get the facts. If you don't have the facts, you can't make an informed decision.
Well, I guess I don't know what was in the letter, so I'm going on the facts that I hear tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Lees here is actually explaining this to us. And like you said, he's not trying to sell us. He's just giving us points, and I don't know what your questions are.
Pardon?
And if you want, I'll read your letter. If you want to get me a copy of it, no problem.
No. But I don't think anybody can make an informed decision.
Going on his facts alone right here, it sounds like it's a pretty good deal. Like I said, just going with what he says, and he's the IT man, the engineer that's in charge of the process, so he knows what he's doing.
And I'm not questioning that at all, Bob. What I'm saying is that, as I said, we've got a good foundation. I think the concept is good. But I think there's too many unknowns. How many floors are going to be in this building? You know, what are the layout of the floors going to be? When is the west wing going to be built? When is the second floor going to be built? I think there's too many unknowns. The basic concept, I think, is probably good, but I think there's too many unknowns in that.
A lot of this here, I mean, isn't unknown to you yet, too. You don't know, you know, Jaguar's got their people out looking and... Yeah.
And from the county's perspective, it would be an unknown regardless for us. I mean, the private side is the unknown as far as how that will play itself out. So the county would never actually be able to come to the council and say, this is how it's going to lay out. That's not our, that never has been and is from our board, is not the desire for the project to move forward that way. So we'd never be able to answer that.
And he has touched on items which I like that are features that the system has got. You know, so that's, and there's more stuff coming. So I guess if we've got the questions, and we'll have to come up with the answers. I mean, you did well tonight. I'm dumb at this, but got educated.
I'm more than happy to help.
Well, I appreciate you coming out. I mean, that's what this is all about. So.
Sure.
Council, any other?
I guess at some point in time, I'd just like to see what some of those other benefits are going to be for that extra dollars that we're going to spend.
Sure.
We know the GIS. We can get GIS and through Google Maps and some other sources. We don't necessarily need the backbone that the county's going to provide for that. We can get some of those services throughout. But what I want to see is what's the list of some additional services that we're going to get that's going to justify the $20, and then double-check with the administrators here at the city to make sure, does it save them time? Does it save them, you know, ability to get this information? Or can we still get this information without paying the extra $20 a month?
Well, and that's one of the things that the county, and that's one of the separation that the county has done, is they've actually separated out for the project. We've separated out the fiber optic side of it, which I'm charged with, and the Carver County IT department. And so the county IT department is actually going out, and I'll call it the roadshow, and they're actually coming out and specifically asking the different cities that have signed up. And again, it's kind of a, you know, you're looking at what we've got, and, you know, you're asking about what some of the additional services are. The big thing for us is we're saying, you know, look at that. We're doing this as the big brother to see what we can set up for you. But we're actually coming out to go, well, what do you need? What makes sense to you? So as far as the laundry list of this, that, and everything, we're coming out more so on a, what do you want? This is what we have. What works for you? This is what it'll take to get it working for you. But they're actually coming out and looking at some of those different out-of-the-box ideas, very common ideas, you know, backup, but what else might you want? What might make sense?
One thing you touched on, they're coming out to those who signed up.
Correct.
They should come out to some of those who are on the fence to explain some of the more benefits.
And right now, from the IT perspective, the county has been working forward in trying to get the project alive by the federally required timeline that we've got.
You know, that might have saved some time for you here tonight.
Sure. And again, I'm happy to come out here and answer to some of those questions. That, I mean, as far as some of the additional items, that what the county has, we haven't put together our laundry list of, this is what you're going to get for that extra $20.
And I guess I'd like to see that before having us take an added expense on up with us versus a system that is, from my understanding, is very adequate for what we need to do here at Hamburg.
Sure.
I mean, we're only 550 people, so we don't have
absolutely
a huge need for some of the things that you're alluding that may be coming down the line.
Sure.
Again, what you said, Mayor, I mean, it would be nice to have those people out here saying, okay, these are the things you're going to get for the extra $20. And then we go back to the administrators and say, does this make your job easier? And if it does, then that might justify the $20. If they say no, it doesn't do us any ability to pay an extra and that's not going to save us money.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's where the county is looking at it too, as far as our resources too, as far as one of the things that we'll look at for the $20 a month extra and the $240 a year is what type of county resources are we doing to try to basically convince the city to sign up for it. Because, I mean, we have a resource dollar cost to that, too, where we basically go, you know, if it doesn't make sense for the city to sign up, then, again, that's council's decision.
I mean, so, that's where
no, I agree. We're getting to. What?
So I guess if there were some things that you wanted to know on as far as what the county's looking to offer, it's what do you do now, and it's GIS, it's backups, it's any of these virtual machines. We're looking at telephone systems as far as it makes sense for the cities to come in and get rid of what they've got if they want to tie into that. It's some of the collaborative efforts that we're looking at from the other cities. What are they? We haven't put that group together to be able to say, what do you want to do, cities? Some of the things that we've talked about is some of the, and I used to be, before in my previous life, before I came to the county, was an IT consultant. And I worked down in southern Minnesota, down by Mankato, St. Peter. I worked with a lot of the smaller municipalities down there, and they did utility billing. And it was an item for them that was more complicated because they didn't do it that often. So we actually helped bring together three or four of the cities for a shared resource to do their utility billing. So that person would actually go one day a week here at this city. They'd go to the next city, and they actually just worked in that utility program. So instead of having to have an individual staff that had X amount of hours, you had one staff that knew exactly about that system because that's all they did. Some of those types of opportunities. And then what the county's looking at, whether it be licensing, what you may have, you know, for 500 people, one PC, two PCs, whatever you have back there, Jeremy, you know, there's not a lot of that can be there. One of the things that we're looking at is we've got a document imaging system. This has been a very big interest for some of the entities that are out there to try to take all the paper and actually get it electronic. And then we've actually got systems that will allow that. And what we're trying to do is provide and help cities become more 24/7 available so that you're not actually open from just your 8 to 5 or your 8 to 4:30 type of operation to try to help get you some more of the paper.
That's plenty of time, though. 8 to 5.
96.
Well, when all these other services and stuff come online and come on board, is the county going to say, well, now you got to pay a little bit more than $75 a month? Maybe it's $90 a month.
For from a cost for the initial connection, no, it's $75, and the county will look to drive that down. If there's some costs associated with these additional services, as far as, you know, you're going to tie into our document imaging system, and we have an associated backup cost of $100, well, then, yeah, that would be passed on to the city if the county is going to. But right now, if there's a value to that, that would be in our big system. You can buy economy of scale, basically. So if there's a value to that, yeah, would there be an additional expense? The council doesn't have to move forward with that type of an item, but if there's a value to it, you'd get it for a minimal cost from whatever the county is getting expense for that. And that's, again, what the board has actually asked us to do from a perspective in our collaboration effort, to go out and go, what do we have? A perfect example is there's, and I'm not from the Public Works Department, but we're doing a cost-sharing thing with Scott County where we've got a specific type of a grader that does something, and we had to buy it, and Scott County was going to buy it, and we use it like 3 weeks out of the year. And it was foolish for both of us to buy it. So we said, why don't one of us buy it, and you use it the first 3 weeks, and I'll use it the next 3 weeks, and then we'll stick it back in the shed. And it's those types of things that we're actually looking to come out here and bring this, as we can bring people together and go, okay, how can we look at those things? Get out of your box, get out of the paradigm that you've been used to doing, and go, what else can I do?
I have a question on that utility billing. That you have available now?
That is actually something, the county is not doing utility billing, so I want to be clear with that.
I know, but I mean the programs?
Nope, and we're not doing the programs either. That was actually something that I did in my previous life where I actually helped those cities go. It was more about staffing resources than anything. They were all using the same exact software, and the person that did the utility billing was only did it 3 days a month in one city, and so she had to remember how it was here, and then another one did it for 4 days. And it was like, you know what, we put a dedicated person to that, and then that person was always familiar with it. They didn't have to re-remember it every month what they did. That's all they did. And so there was some cost savings based on that. And that's the type of stuff that we're looking to help foster and promote, which has nothing to do with the county per se. I mean, that's just like with the schools. We brought the schools together for the benefit of the schools. The county spent its time and effort to bring them together, and now they're operating as their own consortium to be able to do some of the things that they're looking to do.
But not the parochial schools?
Not the parochial schools, no. Not the parochial schools. They weren't part of the project. So
let me understand right. So if we wanted, like, backup services, wanted to utilize, you know, the virtual computer concept and GIS, the GPS mapping or anything, are those going to be additional costs above that $75?
Some of them may be. I mean, it depends on what they are and what level
you're... That's what council needs to know.
Yep.
What are the... I mean, I think it'd be easier for them to make a decision if we knew, okay, with that $75, you're also getting, you know, cloud storage or, you know, or
sure,
backup. You get the virtual computer access. You get this amount of data storage for your mapping, or will help with some document imaging. Or, you know, I think that's what needs to be defined.
That's one of the things
that's above and beyond what we're getting now. I think
sure,
really that's what the council
sure
says.
And the county's actually, we don't have the, we're not a, and not in the business to be a service provider. I mean, so for us to come out and become the media comm and say, you know, here's our list of pricing, this is what we're doing. I mean, we don't have that. And as far as resource time, that's not what we're looking to do. I mean, so I will say this, and this is where, from the big brother standpoint, you know, the city of Hamburg and council has to either believe in the project or not believe in it, and what the county is looking to try to do.
I don't think it's the fact that we believe or not believe in the project. We just can't justify the additional cost.
And that's where, you know, the county is looking to bring forth that $20 worth of extra value to the project.
That's the key to it.
And the big thing for us is that we don't have an a la carte menu that would come in and say it's $5, because we're looking at everybody as a whole and saying, okay, if we've got 3 people from Hamburg and 7 people from here and 8 people from there, what will it cost us to be able to bring that service in? And then we're bringing that to the table now.
Okay, good.
So,
because I really think it comes down to justifying the value. Because right now, even for me, from a standpoint, you know, I do see some added values being with the county. And I know it's only, you know, $240 a year, but, you know, if we take that approach with everything, that adds up.
Absolutely.
And I think that's kind of the thing here is in this economy, these times, I mean, we also have to justify to the taxpayers, you know, why we're paying more for a service.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, like as I see it right now, I don't see any way that I could justify the extra $20.
Good. All right. Well, we kind of beat it to death here, but we got questions answered. And there might be some more. I appreciate you coming out. And
no problem.
Any other thing, Council? Otherwise, appreciate it.
Yep. Good. Sounds good. Thank you. If you have any questions, I appreciate your time.
Okay, we will move on. Old city business.
I have one.
I think I sent out a link with an email to Council.
To what, Jeremy? For what?
NIMS.
If you didn't get one, so.
It was with an email that I sent out with something else.
While you're looking, can I just bring one thing up? This person who had their newborn child died, that's a city engineer. Are we sending out a sympathy card or something?
We can address that after, later.
Okay.
Well, regardless, if I'm really encouraged to get the NIMS done, because look at some of the disasters that are happening right now. I know it's a time commitment, but we talked about this in January.
It was in the email with the LMCIT loss control recommendation information.
That was a long email.
There's
a whole bunch of stuff on that. I don't remember getting to the other part.
And I just said, City Councilman, here's the information for the city's insurance company's request in order to receive backup sewer coverage. And I said, Bob, here's the link to the NIMS training, because I think I said at last meeting I would send you something.
I mean, I must have missed the link then. It was really
you probably I read the other stuff. I didn't
probably know. Probably, yeah. So it was tied with something.
Oh, it's the missing link.
Separate. Maybe that's why I got lost in the shuffle there. It is in that email, to clarify. So, or if you need it, just let me know.
I'll just
resend it to you in a plain email.
Okay, city shirts, police jackets.
They're in.
Okay.
They're here. Whoever, Bob, his is here, and who's the other one that's still?
Brad.
Brad got his.
Here's.
Brad?
Yep.
Okay.
Your jacket.
Yep. So a new jacket's here.
Okay.
So everything's here.
Wonderful.
If it doesn't fit, you'll have to let me know.
Pardon? Oh. All right, and we'll move on. Mr. Byerly.
Yeah.
Please.
The control panel is ready for inspection. Mike brought the intrinsic panel cover, put it in tonight. Just that's where I was at. I wasn't here at 7 o'clock. And so it's ready for inspection. I just got to call Chuck and he'll line up to get it inspected.
Is the dialer in and everything?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, do they do a test for that? Or do they just, I mean, he said that they...
I think it's self-test.
He said that he called and it's all hooked up. I was just wondering if they did it, you know, like some...
Well, I'm sure when you install it, you know, the installer... check to be sure it was running correctly, but I think it's self-test once a month or something.
Okay.
I'll call what's the name.
What is done?
And I haven't been to Menards to get any concrete blocks yet for the
pavers.
Pavers.
put behaviors to me.
Now, the estimates of...
Community Center, I'm waiting to hear back from insurance. I faxed them everything, but they haven't got back to me as far as... But I don't think they have any objections if we go with Elf Keys, but said at last meeting we want to verify that insurance was fine before we go forward, so I'm just waiting for clarification for them to run through their ropes. Mm-hmm. So once I get that, then we'll get the ball rolling on that. Okay. Actually, what I think I'll do is I'll just follow up tomorrow on that.
Yeah, that shouldn't take that long to okay a estimate. And
insurance companies, you're dealing with.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, and that it faxed 2-3 weeks ago. So.
Okay.
I talked to Sean from Pipe Services today about the televising and the sewer lines, and he was wondering if it was dry enough. Because that machine is going to be going through easements.
Yeah, through yards.
I don't want to really make myself any more work, but I do want to get it done.
Well, keep in touch with it and see what works then.
Well, I don't know if it's going to dry up.
Yeah, it's okay.
Have they come out kind of surveyed where they would be?
No. They just look at the map when they come. They've had the map.
My only other worries is we going to have issues with any access points?
I talked to Brian. He's fine. Mine, I don't, you know, I think if we get back behind mine, I think the only person other I have to talk to would be Ed. Because we'll have to drive on his yard.
It'd be my own
20 yards.
Not that we.
And I haven't seen Ed
someone's yard where we don't have an easement.
I think that's the only, and the other ones are. It's in the park. You know, for Brian's field. The other ones they can reach from the street, I believe.
Okay. I'll keep us posted.
And as far as this loss control, I think I would like to have Matt come back out here if I can. I thought he said he was going to do that and kind of draw up a plan, you know, from what he's given us and what I look at. You know, some of those things I have been documenting, but that's a long list.
It would be a good idea to have him come back out.
Well, I thought he was going to give me like a cheat sheet, you know, what other cities have done. And I know he said he was going to come out for some ergonomics or something. But
I think that'd be a good idea.
I'd like to have some things defined. I don't know if any of you have looked at that.
Yeah. At least. Mm-hmm.
Matt will come out?
Pardon?
Matt will come out?
Matt.
Or the city engineer?
No, Matt from League of Minnesota.
League of Minnesota Cities.
I can't remember his last name right.
I will find that.
Yeah, Dick. I looked at
Matthew Columbus.
Too. Yep. That's some of that stuff on there is really minute.
Loss control consultant.
Okay.
That was red tape.
Yeah.
So as far as that NIMS, do I have to do that here?
You can do it online or anywhere.
Okay. How many hours is it?
Which three, part?
Oh, I don't know.
Three
how
to
many
four
I
for
have
each.
To
I think you need two of them.
I think I only did like one.
700 or 100 you did. One or the other. You've done one of them. You need to do two of them. Probably what he did.
Honestly, tell you, I don't remember.
I put 20 hours in.
20 hours, all three.
Three of them, yeah.
Wow. Because they're saying they only recommend, if you look on their website, it says 3 hours for each.
Yeah.
Can you start them and then come back? Like if you get a phone call or something? Or Or is it something you've got
to
keep going?
I didn't do it online, so you'd have to ask Mr. Odom's held that. If you
There's a time limit on some of that, right?
Yeah, you got to take. You can't come back and take the test. And I just decided, you know, I'm going to dedicate a weekend to completing this and getting it done. And if you got kids and relatives and family and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be rough. And it's trying to do it as a group, that just won't work. And I think I did two of them one weekend, and did the third one, which is, I think, 700 was the hardest one. Did that the second weekend.
No, I'll try to get it sometime.
If there's a group somewhere, like in, say, Waconia or something, with another fire department or something, that would be the place to go.
Yeah, I agree. But there's nothing out there right now.
No, there's nothing out there.
Brad, he kind of keeps an eye on that, too, for you.
That would be the place. For me to do it at home, it was hectic.
Last year, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
For me to do it at home was...
If I find anything out, too, and I'll try to keep communication with Brad and...
Yeah, I guess that's the only problem. You got to dedicate 3 or 4 hours to it at a time. I don't know if I could possibly do that. Only because, you know, if I'm getting a phone call or I got to go do something else. I mean, obviously, if you just have to get up and make yourself a sandwich or use a bathroom.
Well, no, and you can do that, Bob. But you can't go for 2 hours and come back and take up where you left off because you'll get automatically logged out. But you can, you know, 15 or 20 minutes, you know, you do that.
All right. What else, Dennis, we got here? Sanitary sewer system assessment. Is that part of
that? That's part of that.
Okay.
Loss control. So.
I'll see if we get a hold of that map and let's get the ball rolling.
Dennis, do you know any? Stephen Buckington came to me about he's got some P-Rock he wants to get rid of.
It's not buckshot, it's P-Rock. So it won't work in the
at any of the parts, and I don't know where else.
No, I asked him when he came and talked to me. I said, well, if it's buckshot, you could put it in either park.
Yeah, but it's P-Rock, from what I understand.
That's too big. He's just going to have to find someplace else to
go with it. That got nowhere. Let's call him.
Because he never came back and talked to me.
Just speaking of extra materials, what is the two piles down by the compost roll-off?
That's when I closed. Well, somebody dumped some dirt over the weekend.
There was dirt and there was sod. There were two piles there.
No, one of them was what I scoop away from the door so I could put it back up there and kind of make a ramp, you know.
Well, all I've seen was two piles.
Yeah, one of them was somebody brought some dirt, and I'm sure they just threw it off instead of throwing it into the dumpster because I had the tailgate locked.
Yeah, you did.
They were supposed to pick it up.
That's pretty darn high for an old man to throw their grass clippings over. I just didn't know what was going on.
If you leave it right at the end of it, I can put it in there with a bobcat.
Yeah, I really don't condone people who can't get it in that.
Well, when I called them, I locked it up on Friday and called them, and they said, we'll try to make it. Otherwise, it's going to be Monday. And if it's not closed, then they won't come. They won't take it. They won't close it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And when they brought it back, did you see where they put it? Up on top of the ramp. I don't know what kind of truck drivers they got, but they can't even put it to the edge of the ramp where it's supposed to go.
I guess they didn't pay attention there. But anyhow, I was just kind of...
No, one of the piles, because you can't close the door with that dirt.
Okay.
Dirt there, so I push that away and then close the door. And I just leave that so I can kind of build a ramp when I'm done.
All right, fine. Yeah, question answered.
There's a method to my madness.
All right. Anything else for Dennis?
I do have one thing for Dennis. It kind of refers to a council report, but it's on the lot across from the bar. The grass is...
I'm sending on a nuisance letter tomorrow. I've got it all ready.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have it mowed before the weekend.
Can you mow it? Just for so it doesn't...
It's going to look like crap. I'll have it go over.
It'll look better
if it puts rain in
for Summerfest.
I can't even get the rest of the...
I forgot to tell you today. Just...
Well, Brad just mentioned it to me.
You need to send out a letter, too. And also, don't forget...
I don't think they've taken care of it.
I'm just going to get the address and letter, the complaint letter.
I don't think there's any other...
I noticed they've taken care of the vacant lots, though.
Who's that?
I don't know. Somebody's been mowing them.
That's me.
Oh, you've been mowing them?
The outlot and
Brad Street?
Yeah.
Oh. Because that was, I go by the two, and that one
was this year. Now, here's the deal. Last year I was told not to do it. Then a council member told me to do it. And if you let them get 3 foot tall, it doesn't work. It's better to go down there and spend 45 minutes and cut them. And the outlots are ours anyway. But those two vacant lots, it's a lot easier just to do them once a week.
Yeah.
Should I still go send it to the owners?
Yeah.
Or should I mean... Yeah.
Send them a bill.
And the other lot across from the hall, or across from the bar, is, I believe, Thamert's.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't think they've ever taken care of it. I know Grant was mowing it. And I know he hauled brush out of there before. And he's probably tired of it.
Yeah. Well, I know there's a pile right in the middle, Dennis. There's a pile of tree brush.
There is. Like there.
Well, the only thing we can do, if people don't handle it, we document it, we charge accordingly, and it gets billed. And then when it doesn't get billed, it's evidently a taxable.
Yeah, we'll assess it to taxes.
You bet.
I'll have to mow it. I think tomorrow's going to be rainy, but then...
If you can mow it, I'll have Jake pick that brush up in the center and then haul it out. We'll get it cleaned up before the weekend.
I know it looks like...
No, I think it's supposed to rain almost all day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that uplifting comment.
What's that?
Almost all day. Rain getting above snow.
That was the only thing I had. I just wanted to make sure that he knew about it. Or
well, yeah, that if you can handle it. But you tell Sue or Jeremy to time so we
can track it.
We charge for it. I mean... It's just plain,
you're responsible.
Yeah.
But if you can get it mowed, I'll have Jake tear it, brush out of there, and take it out there and tree dump.
I'll make you a little sheet so you can put like the address and the time and date. And you can just send it again.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
No, if they come back, we've got a document.
Yep.
Other than
and
that,
did you... Sorry.
Go ahead.
You had a list of when the games were played?
Yes.
You still have it? I couldn't find it.
Oh, literally.
Unless it's still in the box. I guess I didn't.
I made a copy and put it in the box. If you don't have it, let me know and I'll...
No,
the Little League games.
Oh. All that.
Little kids.
Well, when the grass was too wet, I just did both ball fields today, so...
Check with me in the morning.
There was a game
tonight. Look in your box and let me know. Otherwise, I'll make another copy.
All right. Anything else for Dennis? Dennis, you got anything else?
No. I'll be going to a new home first thing in line.
What time do you go?
Well, I try to do it early. Be there when they open at 7:30. But I have to get samples and tests and then go.
And thank you for letting me know when you do that. Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right.
The love.
We'll move on. Jeremy.
I was approached by the baseball club for additional mosquito spraying. They have their baseball tournament June 20th. They said I'd run it by council. Basically doing a spraying for them for their baseball tournament, and I talked to Mosquito or Clark, and they basically had said that they need 72 hours notice if they're gonna like do any additional like spraying. I also have had people ask me about Summerfest, and I said, well, they're scheduled to spray tomorrow. Now, whether that's good enough or carries into the weekend, I don't know. They're bad.
Yeah, I don't know if they sprayed last year, it didn't really help a whole lot because once the sun went down, they were just nasty for about an hour. It was incredible, and then they weren't so bad the rest of the night.
Yeah, but then it's so wet, you know. I think that if they go along the fence line, you know, that could be that they can't handle it with the moisture. I didn't know if they were coming tomorrow night or Thursday night, which would be closer to the weekend.
Right, but it's tomorrow night their schedule.
What are they charging for an extra run like that? Say they come Friday night.
But the whole town is like $280, I think, somewhere in there, $285. Yeah. That's the whole town. But now I don't know if you want to do like additional, if they're in town, have them do the whole town or just have them do baseball park or not incur them costs or.
Well, a baseball club, you want to put some of this or you just think they're just as much their mosquitoes as ours?
Yeah, I don't know.
Good one.
You know?
Where's the Lions going to have a bounce thing this year?
Yeah, they're planning on having a bouncy castle or two. I'm pretty sure that Linda had set that up. She told me she had, but she hasn't been at any of our meetings the past 3 months, so I guess.
My suggestion is you don't put it where they did the last time.
I have no idea where they want to put it.
Well, we don't have electricity there for you, so.
Well, it's I don't know where they had it the last time, but the.
It was right up by the lift station.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The grass.
It was a bad spot. We ended up having to put a fence up. Just so kids wouldn't run from there right out in the street.
At this point, I have no idea where they got set up. She, like I said, Linda was taking care of all that stuff, and she hasn't been to any of the meetings, and she hasn't been to any of the last 5 meetings, so I have no idea what she's got going with it. As far as I know, she set it up, but as to where they're going to be and what the deal is. And
that's my suggestion. It wasn't a very safe place to put it the last time, and we had to end up putting outlets in that box for me.
I would imagine she will at least talk to the committee or something when it gets that far to where to put stuff.
Well, there's plenty of electricity back by the big shed, so that's just my suggestion.
Yeah, you don't want it too close to the road.
Thanks, Dennis.
Yep.
I supposedly she told Bruce or somebody what all of her plans were, but Bruce said he hasn't heard from her, so I don't know what the deal is.
That's a different meeting. So anyhow, mosquitoes, ballpark. Yeah. Do they just think that the city should?
I guess.
I really don't agree with that.
No, we can. I would say contact Clark, is it?
Mm-hmm.
And just say.
Give them their info.
Yeah, say, hey, you know, we want to maybe. The ballpark wants to have it sprayed before the tournament, like the day before or whatever. What's the cost? And then give whoever the contact information. This is the cost. You want it? This is the cost.
Yeah.
I mean, just like if the Lions, if we wanted to have it for Summerfest, I would expect the Lions to pony up the cost for that as well. So.
I mean, they're making a profit off of their tournament.
Yeah.
So are we going to have.
We're paying the lights, probably. Right? We paying.
Yeah.
That would be my suggestion, anyway.
Yeah.
So we're going to have them do an extra spray for Summerfest?
Well, it's coming tomorrow night.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I could get another one lined up because they need 72 hours notice.
3 days.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say.
Friday night.
I think so.
It wouldn't be on Saturday night. Well, then.
I guess one thing would be, I have always tried to get the schedule so that they came, you know, the week of Summerfest. But maybe what we should do, like for next year, see if we can't get them, maybe come Thursday.
Yeah.
Night.
Even Friday afternoon or Friday early, you know.
Well,
they only come at night
because okay. What this service, what they do, they try to come at a time when they're out, so it's a contact type.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
They're killing the adult ones.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking, they usually hide in the grass during the day when it's hotter out. So if you spray the grass, I mean, that supposedly kills them. I mean, they sell those things that you hook onto your hose and you can do it on your own lawn, too.
So. I don't know if that's effective or if it's more effective at night because they usually come around 10 at night.
Okay.
You're just going to run out of the boat. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Assessment policy, that's just, you know, we talked about last meeting. I'm not just giving any more thought on that. The only other things I wanted to touch base on was just more info. You know, anybody that lost some keys in the park? We have them. They're on a pink ring. It's just two keys. Rough day, must have been from one of the baseball games or something.
Hmm. Well, you think if you know they lost it here in town,
yeah,
you'd stop
think
up
they'd
here.
Stop up, but.
Well, you got them. Hold on to them.
They'll be here anything.
Did you put it on our sign? I have your keys.
No, I was wondering the website, could we put a lost and found on that?
Oh.
I don't know. We were down there that night when one of the girls found them. Okay. And the mom said, go ask everybody. And no one claimed them.
No one claimed them.
I don't know. Could have been from
2 months ago, right? Or whatever. Who knows? Yeah, I don't know. So you just think, at least my first initial instinct would be to go to City Hall or, you know what I mean?
It's tough to be somebody that lost some of the keys that they had in their pocket and they don't even know that they're gone yet.
I still have two cell phones here from about 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, obviously they're no good because they're not digital or anything like that. Yeah.
All right. Other thing is just county curfew ordinance. And this kind of is in relation to the vandalism in the park on first weekend in over June. And just kind of to deal with some of the kids, what I've been hearing from some residents and some council members and other employees of the city, that there are a number of kids that tend to hang out in the park. So one of the things kind of related to the sheriff's office is to kind of monitor the park late at night if they could drive through at 11, 12 at night and find out who these kids are. So in doing that, we were looking at the county curfew ordinance, which we adopted through our city code. Basically, you know, kind of outlines, you know, the age and the hours that they're allowed in the park. But some of the things we noticed is that one thing was the enforcement under 130.06B. The officer or deputy shall not issue a citation or make an arrest under this section unless the officer or deputy reasonably believes that an offense has occurred and that no exception set forth in 130.05 is applicable. So they're kind of with that, kind of really means they're not going to do anything.
Nothing can tell them to go home.
Yeah. Which would be good. And then I think under, it was 130.04?
Yeah,
section X?
C2. C2 says anytime, well, just to go through C. It's unlawful for any juvenile age 15 to 17 to be any public place within the county. Anytime between 11 p.m. on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and 5 a.m. of the following day, or any time between 12:01 a.m. and 5 a.m. on a Saturday or Sunday. The problem is it doesn't cover Friday. Whereas if you notice all the other ones, part two always says Friday or Saturday, and here it says Saturday or Sunday, so I don't know if that's a...
Well, they got Sunday in there twice.
Yeah. Something they missed there, so maybe kind of will make them aware of that. But just something I wanted to give to council members on so they can see what the curfew is and just to kind of keep an eye out on number of kids that are in the park and if we could gauge what age they are.
I'm long in bed by that time,
buddy.
Me too. Again, I usually cruise through town about midnight or quarter after 12, and I see people not only in the park, but walking the streets. But they're, you know, why are these kids out? It's obvious that they're not, you know, 18 or 21 years old. And the same thing going through Belle Plaine, you know, they have kids walking there. So, I mean, it's not a problem that's unique to us, but I guess the thing that's troubling is that the police really don't have any authority to do anything according to this ordinance. You know.
Unless they find them to be doing something wrong.
Well, technically
they're past their
past curfew is doing something wrong.
Yeah, something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Next, there's a memo here for employers from Ridgeview Medical Center, which is basically Ridgeview Medical Center got a grant where they're going to come out to basically the first 50 employers that sign up to provide screenings, which would include health risk assessment, blood pressure check, and like cholesterol check. Wondering if the city council feels any interest in this. So it'd basically be for city employees, council, all the fire department members, so anybody that would be considered an employee. They'd basically set it up. You could come out and have this free health assessment done.
Fire department has their
physicals done.
When they have their, you know, their lung capacity.
You're basically saying a physical, or you're just going to, like, take your blood pressure?
Well, basically, blood pressure, take your blood, check your cholesterol. So basically, I think it's going to be mainly blood work.
It's going to involve a needle.
Yes. A prick of the finger.
Oh, I bet it's
no.
Yeah.
Unless it's vials of blood.
It's going to be a pole.
Depending how good you bleed, I guess.
Do we get a lollipop?
So I don't know if it's something council would be interested in looking into further and setting something up to have done, or...
And this is a free deal?
Yeah.
Go for it. It's free. It's a good idea. Do you need a motion?
Yeah.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to go along with Ridgeview's wellness testing. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried, I guess.
So if you want to participate, they may have to set it up for like a Saturday morning or something, early morning, because you may have to fast in order to get good results, especially for cholesterol screening. So I'll try to set something up, or maybe just get some dates, and I'll forward it to council and keep you informed on what we can kind of get set up through this, through Ridgeview.
Put that in one of those emails.
Keep it to one topic.
Don't hide it in another topic, is what you're saying?
One topic, please.
I tried to kill two birds with one stone, but I guess I only got one bird. Only other thing, minutes. I just kind of went through them again today, and I noticed there are a bunch of things that I think need to be corrected. Just to go through them real quickly, some of the things I found in the minutes in relation to city street improvements maintenance for 2013. The seal coating for the park trail. It currently reads that seal coating park trail. Councilmember Odoms moved to have William Miller's and Sons seal coat the park trail, seconded by Travis. Motion unanimously carried. All council members were present. In the discussion that was Bargain Incorporated, I guess what I need to ask Mr. Odoms, if you were under the understanding that Miller's was going to do that?
No.
That if maybe I should have you rescind that motion and make a new motion to have Bargain do that?
I'll do that.
Well, was that where
Millers were going to take the tar up where that water puddle was. Is that what you were talking
about? Millers was going to do the patching of the streets. We never did a motion on that, right, Jeremy?
Correct.
Okay. And so then, kind of in the same conversation, we were talking about seal coating the pathways. Oh. And so.
And around the buildings there.
That's what I thought. I thought we were still talking about Brad's company.
Okay.
So, but I mean, if we have to change it to be this other company, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
So, we have to ask to rescind the motion?
Yeah. Mr. Holmes rescind his motion and to make another motion to have Bargain Incorporated to complete the seal coating at the park.
You know who seconded that?
You did.
I did. I'll second that motion.
Motion made and seconded to rescind
the
motion as to Miller's doing the seal coating. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. So now you would have to make the new motion that Bargain.
Well, as long as he makes a motion to.
We're changing it, right?
Rescind it.
And change it.
And then change it to Bargain.
Okay, that's all in order. Yep. All right, good.
So that wording would need to be corrected. And then also for under the cement, or maybe city cleanup day. In the minutes, it was stated council decided to have another cleanup day this fall and decided not to charge for any items being dropped off. But when I went back and we re-listened to the minutes, that was never stated. It's just that we discussed having a cleanup day this fall and agreed to not charge city residents. So I think that should be changed in the minutes because there's never no motion or nothing
that we were going to have.
That basically said...
You need a motion then, or not?
Well, one thing I wanted to touch on that too is if we do that, there'll be an additional charge to them because in our contract is that they come out annually and they've already come out. So I don't know what they would charge then. Then they're going to charge for their trucks, manpower. Now we might be getting into, a little bit bigger dollar amount than, the minimal cost that we would have associated with it. So
I was under the understanding that they would come out, but maybe not. You're right.
Well, contract says annual cleanup day.
But I guess
so it depends on how
I was talking to some of the guys out there that day, and they said, that'd be great. Yeah,
one fellow might be generous, and then the company is.
Exactly.
Right.
So. But so I changed that in the minutes. I don't know if maybe you just want me to go over the changes or to resend them to you.
You can do that.
Which one? Go over them quickly or just resend them and adopt them? Okay. But them are the main things. And then also the only other change I had in there is MAC. It's spelled M-A-C-K. It should be M-A-C. I guess the only other thing is that we try to get back on track and get this done.
That's kind of cool.
But yeah, I'll resend the minutes then because there were some numerous things I think we need to change. And then also we had on under the cement slab portion of it. I just changed that to council agreed to install pavers instead of installing another cement slab. Instead of what we had is during the winter months, the West Community Center exit door does not open properly because outside cement slab heaves up from the winter ground frost. Well, we had already moved that last winter. And then it stated that Councilman Trebush will replace the cement slab with paver blocks, hoping to correct the problem. But I don't know if that was necessarily that you volunteered for that or not.
Don't matter.
Dennis said he'd take care of it too. Other than that, I have nothing else.
Okay. Anything else, Council, for Jeremy? Or as we move on?
Oh, while we're under, before we move on, National Night Out meeting, I guess. Do we want to set something up
for that?
And who wants to serve on that committee?
I'll help out again.
Is that on Tuesday again?
We could set it for whatever.
Oh, the meeting? We could say.
No, I mean the National Night Out. Is that,
that's it's a Tuesday.
First Tuesday in August.
First Tuesday in August.
First Tuesday in August, yeah.
I'll help out on that.
I'll help out, but
I got to be on because I got to go eat the corn.
Pardon?
I got to be on because I got to
go. You're in charge of corn.
Yeah, every year.
You're so good at it.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, right.
Well, what I suggest is two council members.
Yeah.
Then that way we don't get into open meeting law issues.
Yeah.
You too.
How you doing, buddy?
No.
Okay.
You get the list. I can pick up stuff like they have in the past.
Yep.
Take inventory. Some stuff, I think we've got extras.
What do you think we should, has the numbers been going up on this every year, or have they been going down?
We can't really rely on last year's numbers, though.
Right, that was just the memorial dedication.
Oh, that's right. There was quite a few.
I think if we used 2 years ago's numbers, we'd probably be pretty safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nate, that works.
Whenever you say, give a holler. We'll get going on it. Okay?
What night works for you two?
Noon, yeah, work. Noon next Tuesday, then? Does that work?
Next Tuesday?
At noon?
Next Tuesday.
At noon?
Huh? That's what he said.
No.
Works for me.
Works for me, too. I don't care.
All right, I'll look and set something up, and then...
Never know what kind of meeting we're going to have. Doesn't have to be here, neither.
Well, I guess my thing is, there's... Do we want to do like last year and have one... I mean, it's a club. I mean, that's how it started, and then it ended up just being...
City.
Yeah. So I think you just want to keep it the city.
We get it done, and then...
We can just get it set up, and then we can invite peripheral things to say, okay, if you want to show up, there's a spot for you.
Yeah.
And that's well, the it. Lions will have their...
We'll have our table there.
Floats
there. Rubber floats, yeah.
Yeah.
So we can work it that way.
That's what I think.
West Chiefs, chefs.
Anything else? Okay, we'll move on. The added May claims.
I make a motion from 16247 to 16259 on the May claims. Be added. Make a motion.
I'll second.
Motion made and seconded to accept, approve the additional May claims of checks number 16247 to 16259 as stated.
For a total of $41,006.74.
For $41,006.74. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to the June claims.
Is there a reason why there's nothing listed for 216261?
Yeah, because they do payroll this Friday.
Well,
so actually, okay. You could take it off, but yet, any dick to sign them. Either way.
Do you know what do you have the amounts of them?
No, because I won't do payroll until Thursday. And if you want, you can cross them off, and I can put added on there.
I'm just thinking, because we have to save the dollar amount.
Yeah.
Right now,
don't include them, and I'll just put added for next meeting.
I'll approve the four ASH payments, and then check number 16262. Through 16285 for a total of 14,997.25.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the four match payments and checks number 162.62 to 162.85 for a total of $14,997.25.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. City Council reports. Mr.
Otis. Other than the flight sign, the only other thing I have is, as the council agreed upon last week, last month, we are now recording on this laptop the same thing that Jeremy is recording on his cassette. I will take and basically there's no editing because there's it's going to be everything that's there because you don't want to edit a city council meeting, obviously. So I just cut off the end so that there's nothing dead. Cut off the meeting before we started. Now, as I understand it, that's going to be on the city website, right? Okay, so I'll get that to you in an MP3 file probably tomorrow.
Okay. When I get it on there, I don't know. I might have to work with our person that takes care of our website and make sure that everything will work out all right. Because right now, all I can do is attach, files.
Yeah, it should
be able to work. We'll give it a try.
And find out too, Jeremy, because this is going to be it's going to be 3 hours basically.
Yeah.
So how much they want? If they want it in hour increments and like that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll check on that.
Great. That's all I got.
Bob.
I just needed to make sure that Jeremy, you did get the dumpsters ordered for the Donor Fest, correct?
They should be here Friday.
Okay, that's all I got.
Two of them, correct?
Yep.
Two 6 yards should be here. Better be here Friday.
That's all I got.
Jeremy, did we ever get any change in that porta potty that's out there in the park? I noticed it's still not a handicap.
It is a handicap.
Is it all day?
And it is considered a handicap.
Oh, it just doesn't look wide enough.
Or, what did she say? Wheelchair accessible. So I don't know if there's a difference between handicap and wheelchair accessible porta potty. I don't know.
I haven't gone in it, but it doesn't, just from the outside, doesn't look big.
Well, I went and looked at it after that day you brought it up.
Yeah.
And there was kind of a little bit left of the handicap sticker on there.
Okay.
That you could make out.
I'm not going in. I'm just
looking. I don't blame you.
I can look it up.
But as far as I know, it's considered a handicap.
It just looks smaller than the one that we usually have out there.
Right.
Did you find anything out about from InSpec for the bathroom?
I haven't got nothing back from them, but they are looking at the plans. That reminds me, they were supposed to get me a memo. Yeah. I forgot about that.
For those on the council, Larry Mueller drew up kind of a plan about an idea of maybe just utilizing the existing building to make two bathrooms and shrink the closet. And then maybe what we would do is to bring the water heater and the wash tub out from the back and add it, maybe add to the building right in front of it, add to that building, maybe off to the left on the east side or maybe on the back side, and then incorporate everything into that building. And then we'd still have the walk space. So what I asked Jeremy to do is just see how much room we need to have in there for someone to be considered these being handicap bathrooms. And if we can use the existing building, obviously that'll reduce costs and get what we're trying to get accomplished on.
Larry showed me that copy of that before he came up and talked to me about it first. The only thing I saw was maybe this here, over here on this side, that's 5 feet. Okay, he didn't know what that was going to be. I didn't know if that's 5 feet. That should be ample enough for the electrical panel and everything in there, right? For the door to swing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
I know all this. What they could tell me directly is that you need a 5 foot radius
for the wheelchair accessible. Yeah, yeah. And that would looks like you might have that.
Should
yeah.
be that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a pretty good idea myself. I was just kind of concerned about that one.
I'll call them tomorrow morning, Chris, and see if I can get that. He said they have a handout, right, Sue? He said he was going to send me an ADA requirement handout when he came.
When they get it, just let me know.
I still don't have that, so I'll follow up with that.
I'm going to try to get
it. I'll email it to you.
Okay.
And that was we always taking that wall down, or was that just in the back side where that, where the piping is in the wall and stuff?
Yeah, that's basically the way it was explained. Larry's vision would be is we would gut this thing out.
Right.
And we would reroute a little bit of the plumbing inside of it. So that way the plumbing's not in the cinder block. It's actually accessible in case something happens and we need to replace it or whatever. So, but I think it's a good idea, but we just got to figure out if it's something that's going to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish in the end.
And if it'll be certified.
Yep.
You know, ADA.
And then the only other thing I have is the city may be getting a call from a woman named Delilah. She's a broker with the circus that's coming to town in June that the Hamburg Lions and the Northern American Chamber is putting together. So, or any other businesses in the area, they may be getting a call. So if you get a call from somebody saying, hey, the circus called me. Is the circus really coming to town? Yeah. June 20, whatever the last Sunday in June is, 29th, I think it is. 30. June 30th is coming to town. I don't know the exact times of the two shows that'll be on Sunday, but tomorrow I should have posters and tickets and everything.
Where is it going to be?
It's going to be at the Heritage Point Mall in that grassy area just to the west of the mall.
Where they've had it.
They've had it in the past.
Where Family Dollar is.
Yeah, they've had it there before.
So. Good. All right. That's all I had for tonight.
Cool. All I had was that grass and that mow that lot, so it looks halfway decent. And the other thing I was just thinking about was, are we getting the water tower painted this year?
It's supposed to be there.
Oh. You haven't heard anything of when that's going to be?
Usually, they don't. I'm sure now they ain't even thinking that because they ain't warm enough.
Yeah.
But it is scheduled to be painted.
Mm-hmm. And then when they're up there, are they going to take some pictures again like last time?
Usually they do, yes.
There was some issues the last time with the covers off.
Usually when they do that, they do a, you know, walk through and a clean out of it.
Yeah.
Take the pictures for all that, and then they'll clean it.
Anything else?
Not sure.
When, I guess, Dennis makes his rounds pulling water bills or reading meters, I know there's vehicles in this town that haven't moved in ages. They probably aren't licensed. If he would take a pencil and paper with him and get a little bit of enforcement on this. Some of this stuff is just piling up. There's one party in town, I think it's got probably 8 cars now. You know, that they all don't run. So, I mean, it's getting to be
we
a little
bit. I can do a clean sweep too.
You know, we've got Park Avenue, there's a couple of residences that really need to be organized, cleaned up. We must have evidently missed our cleanup day. And then, I don't know, this is just, I've had two people approach me with, well, I'm one of them, that when you have neighbors, oh shit, hey. Well, two of them were, they come up to me, how can we keep our lawns nice? They do the spraying and they keep them up, and the neighbors have got dandelions that blow into theirs and they can't keep up. I says, I don't think there's any kind of, there's no ordinance. Is there?
Noxious weeds.
Noxious weeds. Is a dandelion a noxious weed?
Yeah, I think so. There's a whole list, and it says, and then at the bottom it also says, and others. Yeah. So.
So I said I'd ask. I don't know.
I think so. It'd fall under noxious weeds.
I mean, I get my gutters filled up twice a year by trees. These little things.
Yeah, leaves. I don't think nothing of
that.
Just
I know,
weeds.
But that's just my own personal.
I think it's weeds.
So I can
Weeds we can...
So I can kind of relate to the people who, how should I say, spend $400 or $500 a year to keep their lawn green and weed-free, and it happens. So, if there is, why don't you get me a copy of it?
Okay.
Because then I'll pass that on. And if you could have Dennis take a little inventory.
Would you like, I do have a form I made up several years ago that, like, anyone on council or even a citizen can fill out the address and what it is.
Give it to Dennis for reading meters and email it out to council.
That's what I was wondering. I can give it to council.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, we've got our issue there across from the bar. It looks like heck. Some people are concerned, you know. They spend the money. And I see your point. But I just didn't know if there was anything. So other than that, I don't have anything.
I have one more. When you just had mentioned that Park Avenue, I have talked to Mr. Chadwick on his driveway, and I said I think it's time for hard surface there, and he says, yeah, you're right. So have we got anything on an ordinance saying that after, was it 3 to 5 years after building a house, you have to have a cement driveway?
Or a hard surface.
Or a hard surface, yes. Okay.
But if it's, if it's gravel.
Not ordinance. That's more so a...
I thought we did after...
Covenant type thing that usually you have in developments. I don't know if we have ordinance on that. I will, I'll look.
I thought we did
I thought, too, it had to be between so many years that you had to...
I thought there was something.
...get a driveway that was either cement or blacktop.
Right. And he was planning on that, but he was... You know, that was just him talking at that time, but he told me he was planning on it, so maybe if we just refresh him by sending something out and saying, you know, that I had talked to him, and he...
Well, typically, that's a covenant-type item. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That you include in your developer's agreement. But I don't know if many have that.
Covenants are still enforceable, aren't they?
Legal matter when you get into covenants.
Yes.
I mean, you sure hear about
carpet
going in, what is it, Carver or wherever, that they're building houses that look all the same? Or that's Cologne.
Cologne. But really, where's the... That's between the builder and there's covenants. That's between the builder and the neighborhood, not the city.
I've got one other thing I just remembered.
Legal hold covenants have.
Yeah. Right beside Bill Manahan's house, there's that big old tree there. I know that they've been out 3 or 4 times when a couple of power outage or something. They were out trimming it up, and can they, the power company, take that down so it's not in the way no more of that power line?
That's their issue, not ours.
It's
up to them to what.
It's growing right in the middle of the wires. I mean, when that tree tips over, it's going to take the power down out of town, I think.
Is that on private property?
I don't know. It's in the alley. I don't know where the...
Say it this way. If it's going to give the utility company problems,
I know.
They will trim it, or if it's too bad, they'll probably tell the owner it's going to come down. If you go through Norwood, past the Catholic Church, and you look on the right by Lano's...
They've been better off digging them trees up.
Oh, they trimmed that tree. The wires go through the middle, and they left a few...
I know which one you're talking about.
I mean, I couldn't believe it when I seen it. I was going to take the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now it takes. But anyhow.
I'm just looking for a storm coming this summer. So.
I do have a quick mention of something. Diana Crails informed us, and Lundy knows about this, but that our Lions Club, the Hamburg Lions, was picked to work at the Carver County Fair the 7th to the 12th. And we're going to need 52 people to work between those 5 days, taking tickets, taking money, and stamping hands. And if anybody, you don't have to be a line to work with us. If anybody from the council wants to volunteer, we'll gladly take that.
This is for 5 days at the fair?
Yeah.
Certain hours?
All day? All night? I have no idea yet. We're just going to need workers. I don't know if it's all day or
the grandstand. The grandstand events.
Oh.
Does the Cologne or Cologne Lions take care of the gate?
Cologne.
So it's whatever grandstand events take place.
Okay, because I know some of the ones on Cologne that they even take off from work so they can sell tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah, so far everything's up in the air. We just got. They pick a name out of a hat, and apparently we got picked this year, so.
Look at you. All right, anything else for the good of the city? Otherwise, I'd look for a motion.
So be it.
Second.
Motion made and second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.